Hello, everybody, and welcome to Weekly Manga Recap here on December the 16th, 2015. I'm Y-Rot, here alongside Rolo T. Chris, how have you been?
I'm good, Nick. I kind of getting up towards the holiday season at this point. I'm kind of excited for it. Kind of thinking about maybe seeing a movie this weekend. I'm not really sure. I don't know if anything's coming out. Anything good coming out?
Nothing significant, no.
Oh, okay. I'll just see Creed again. That was a pretty good movie. Creed was. Creed is very good.
I wish I went to movies more often than I do.
I go like once every 2 months. I don't have a life.
Chris, your voice sounds different every now and then. I have no idea what's going on because I can't see anything that's happening. No one can see who it could possibly be anore.
Yeah, well,
especially
I mean,
if they look up there.
He's been replaced.
I've looked to you, Nick, and you're there. I see myself, but that's the only places for cameras in this thing, so...
Chris was murdered, and his killer is taking over the podcast using a voice modulator to simulate Chris's voice.
Oh, dear.
Only part of the time, right?
Only part of the time, yes.
Oh, okay. So half the time I can come back.
Yeah.
Oh, could this be like that Lindsay Lohan movie where she's a stripper who has to solve her own murder?
Yeah.
Sweet.
Whoa, what? That was a thing?
Yes, that was a thing.
Shockingly,
Chris, you're not allowed to know things about movies instead of me. Like, that was...
Shockingly, it was the start of the downturn of her career.
Oh.
Yeah. Just a slope we've been riding for the past 2 decades. I don't know.
2 decades?
Sure.
She's like 24. She's like, fuck you, I was in Parent Trap.
The start of her career was the downturn of her career. I never really liked a lot of her movies. I never liked The Parent Trap or anything like that. No, I know. I mean, Lindsay Lohan.
Weekly Manga Recap, the most anti-Lindsay Lohan manga podcast you will find, apparently.
Yes.
I don't know.
So, as you guys can probably see, we have a special guest this week, as announced last week. It's Tekking 101, Matt, who is the first guest on Weekly Manga Recap who you can actually see talking to us if you're watching the visual edition. Alicia Christman was here last week.
I'll be incredibly laggy, but I'm here.
Yeah, his internet's kind of iffy sometimes.
It's that sweet Comcast.
Actually, my router's connected to a tree. I live out in the country, so yeah. But you know, it's what you get. But yeah, nice to be here. I'm very excited for tonight.
For those people who are not familiar with Tekking 101, he runs a YouTube channel. Why don't you celebrate your 200th episode recently?
Yeah, my 200th Bleach review I've done. Was last week, and I got that out, and I was a lot of fun. I was in the middle of finals, so that was kind of hard to get out, but I got that out, and I'm just really excited for it. Been doing it for 4.5 years. And if you tell that to anyone else, they would probably go crazy, but here I am.
Bro, I mean, I've gone crazy from reading more than 4.5 years of Bleach.
Yeah, but focusing on one manga for 4.5 years.
Not being able to branch out into other things and stuff.
I've done a Fairy Tale review here and there. I've said I'm going to try to review Toriko when Bleach ends, if Toriko doesn't end before that. Yeah, that might have been a decision I might have had to reevaluate.
Yeah, like, I made that decision back during the hidden village arc. I didn't really reevaluate it in the past 4 years since then.
I'll figure out something to do. Maybe I'll review Black Clover. I'll figure out something.
Well,
you could review World Trigger and get all those fangirls.
Yeah, and I should write a fan fiction about that.
But no, that's our territory.
You step in my territory, you die! This is my country!
You should talk about World Trigger, make a fan fiction, I'll fucking cut you.
You're like, oh, you're gonna step in on my territory? It's like Boardwalk Empire, but instead of alcohol, it's just about World Trigger fan fictions. Eventually, like, I guess it would be Infamous Planet, would be like my Jimmy Domity. He's just like, oi there, you can't be half a gangster anymore, there, governor, pip, pip, cheerio, and he flies off with an umbrella. I'm like, what a weird scene this was.
That was way too British there. British English is the weirdest thing. I watched NXT take over London today. Did not understand half the chance that those limey fucks had going on. It's a fun show, by the way.
Oh, my God.
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. The
Weekly Manga Recap, now with 10% more British.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure that he's probably in the chat room right now, so I'm talking shit back to us, so it's fine.
Ah, he's bitching. That's what he does. Okay. Go ahead and get your references.
We are here to actually talk about manga, although we don't have a specific suggestion that we are going to be talking about this week. Green Blood will probably be next week. But we're going to talk about our regular stuff. Well, most of our regular stuff. We don't have One Piece or Fairy Tail this week, as it turns out, which kind of sucks, because I know that, Matt, you have strong feelings about both of those, in addition to Bleach.
Before your video went off, there was a Brook poster behind you.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a Brook poster behind me, and everyone that does not know what I do, has been watching my videos, you might just assume, oh, Bleach is his favorite series. It's really not. I'm way more of a One Piece fanboy, so I'm really pissed that I didn't get a chance to go all out against that this week. So.
Well, you know what? Yeah. Why doesn't, when One Piece would normally come up in our episode, you know, we won't be talking about the chapter, but why don't we just talk about the arc as a whole, as of recently?
Might as well.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. I'm cool with that.
And when Fairy Tail comes up, we can just make up whatever fan service would have been in this week.
I could just show a bunch of tits.
I've already kind of read it, the crappier translation, but I know what happens and you don't. I have the power now.
You can just, like, say what happens and we'll have to believe you because we've got no proof as to what actually happens.
He's like, Elf Man,
I could do that.
Zeref. I'm like, oh.
I'll throw in some sprinkles of reality, but I'll mostly just make shit up. Yeah.
But the video did go out, though. I do need to know.
It did. I don't know if you disabled that yourself or not. Okay. Anyhow, let's just get into the recap portion of Weekly Manga Recap. And I don't know if you're too familiar with our format, but we go in alphabetical order on here because we used to have a set order, and then we just decided to do that order randomly, and then we decided let's do it alphabetically. So then we can talk about World Trigger last, which we both really like. So
just have a wheel behind you spin. I'm like, okay, we're talking about Nisekoi first.
We used to actually do that a couple of times, just random order. It's just do Black Clover.
It got too chaotic.
Whichever. Black However you Clover. Want to do it, it's your podcast.
Yep. Black Clover, page 42.
It's not actually our podcast anymore, though. I outsourced us to Donald Trump. I kind of felt like backing the right horse at the right time, you know?
Oh my God! Well, yeah.
Look, what's trending? What's trending on Twitter right now, Nick? Well, besides Freddie Gray and the GOP best debate, Trump, boom, right there, he's on.
Best TV lines 2015. Wait,
I'm sure Trump's a part of that.
Stairwares? I don't know what that is.
Let's see. Oh, Tekking 101 appears on Weekly Manga Recap. That's on here for some reason.
That really got moving.
Oh wow!
Yeah. I just started that an hour ago. Holy shit.
Anywho, let's talk about Black Clover now. Three Leaf Sprouts is the name of the chapter. We start off with Asta having hit the weird, ugly kidnapper guy in the stomach with his sword. And, you know, whenever Asta hits someone with his actual, you know, sword blade, it feels like they should just become a mist of blood, you know, berserk style. This guy just kind of, like, falls backwards and spits up a bit of blood. I don't know. Maybe Ash needs to sharpen this thing a little bit. It doesn't seem to be that effective.
Yeah, it's a little bit rusty. It'll give him tetanus, but you know, other than that.
It was known to be a blunt sword originally, though, wasn't it?
I don't recall. I mean, I don't know.
He might be mixing it up with, like, the 18 other Shonen Jump characters who have swords, but they have to note at some point. Like, it's a blunt sword, though, so it doesn't cut people.
Well, even, like, in Berserk, they say that Guts' sword is pretty dull, and it's just, like, he hits people so fucking hard with it, and that's what causes it.
Yeah.
The nun is, like, observing, oh, Asta's got anti-magic kind of thing, and so on and so forth. Meanwhile, Neige, which multiple people pointed out to us, Neige means snow, and snow powers. He is fighting with Gaush. Gaush is kicking his ass 9 ways to Sunday. And eventually, it seems as though Neige manages to deal a critical blow by selling a bunch of snow around Gaush. But Gaush, the double that he summoned through his mirror, attacks him from behind with a mirror laser thing. And Gaush explains, real double is a spell that summons another me out of the mirror world. Which actually implies, like, alternate dimension type stuff. Not just, like, I double myself, so...
I just viewed it as just like a clone magic sort of deal that he can make.
Maybe there will be like a thing later on where they have to travel into the mirror world, or maybe not.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's like the Michael Jackson song, looking at the man in the mirror. It's really...
I'm sure that was the inspiration for it, yeah.
It wouldn't be surprising. I mean, that's... Brooke is inspired off of Michael Jackson's, why he does this 45-degree thing. Maybe all of the spells in Black Clover are secretly based off of Michael Jackson songs.
Well, he made enough good ones, I guess.
Yeah, he's got one of the best catalogs, Nick.
You can legitimately do that with all the songs he has, yeah.
In fact, I'm gonna start working on my Michael Jackson Battle Shonen series right now.
I had that idea, Chris. I just came up with that.
Well, who has the notepad and has started writing? Thriller will be main character. He has zombie cat powers.
You have no idea.
Stop giving people ideas. This is going to be a thing now.
Billie Jean. He'll have... I can't remember what that song was about. Pedophile powers?
No!
I don't know. It's been a long time. It's something about the kid is not my son or something like that. Michael Jackson was just very sexy. Okay. All right, just carry on. I'm going to keep this going on my end.
All right. You do that. Anyhow, Gaush easily beats Nej, basically. Meanwhile, Asta confronts ugly glasses pedo-stash dude and grabs him by the collar and demands to know why he drained magic from the children. And he says, "Do you even know how much it hurts to lose your magic?" And the guy just replies, "Oh, what do I care? It doesn't matter to me whether you guys die or lose their magic or whatever." And so Asta rears back to punch him, but he stops himself and hits the wall behind him instead. And he says, "This pain isn't enough to make up for what you did. You're gonna pay for it properly starting now." And the nun commends him for his decision by saying, "Yes, a man like that isn't even worth striking with your fist."
He's worth hitting with a sword, but not punching.
I would have punched him, you know. Sure,
I would have punched. He's kind of a pedo, kind of freaky. Yeah.
I mean, it's like, oh, he's not worth dirtying your hands or whatever. Like, whatever. That doesn't seem like the thing that Asta would care about, honestly. It seems like something, you know, Asta always seems like the type of guy who's willing to get his hands dirty and stuff.
Yeah. I mean, he's been pretty mature these past few chapters, honestly.
He's like, "No, my hands are for my woman. I can't soil them."
It starts jacking off to the thought of the sister.
They're like, "Ew, that's not for your woman."
Asta runs around through all the kids, bonking them on the head with the hilt of the sword.
Bonk, bonk.
And he's like saying it as if he's acting like he's still fighting, kind of, because he's like, "Nat." It's like they're little kids, and you just kind of don't chill.
Whatnot. Yeah.
So he works together with the sister to, cure all the kids. She summons more of her healing candle things after Asta has, freed them from their trance. And, she mentions, "Did you grow up in the church in Hage?" And Asta's like, "Oh, how'd you know about that?" She says, "Well, Sister Lily from your church came to ours to train once. And we had a chance to talk for the first time in ages recently, and she told me all about you." And it's like, "Really? What did she say?" "Well, that you were a small, noisy child." Also,
did she dig me?
Well, that's...
What did she say?
She also said you were a hard worker with a strong heart that wouldn't give up in the face of adversity, and that she was very proud of you. And it's like, "Oh, yeah. Oh, I knew she was into me. I knew she wanted this." Yeah. And he does the whole glowy eyes thing.
Yeah, that's his thing. That's his little character quirk. Yeah.
I dislike the glowy eyes thing more than I dislike Duck Face now, mostly because that seems to have its place. The Duck Face has its place, it seems, whereas Asta will just get shiny eyes over fucking anything.
Like, yeah.
"I'm happy. That was funny. This is intense. That was cool." Any positive situation.
He reminds me of some kind of insect whenever his eyes go like that, because they're all like,
black and... lacking any definition whatsoever, yeah.
Yeah, really.
Gaush continues to beat up Nej, even though they've won. Like, Nej is on the ground helpless, and Gaush, his hands in his pockets, are just kicking him around. And he says, like, "Oh, he hurt Marie, and he must atone with death." And Marie is like, "I'm fine. Forgive him." He's like, "No."
I'm going to murder this guy right in front of my sister.
This is going far beyond having a sister complex. This is...
Really, Nick? You're just realizing that now?
Well, it was like, uncomfortably played for humor before. But the last few chapters have just been like, Gaush is actually, like, insane and is going to murder someone at some point.
I figured this out, like, 10 chapters ago, but okay.
See, I don't see this as too intense. I see this as someone who looks at his little sister the same way some fathers look at their daughters. And he's very much like, you're not gonna hurt them, or I'm gonna break you.
And do you know of many fathers who have nosebleeds over the thought of their daughters?
Yes, I was just gonna bring that up. Like the international sign in like Japanese culture for sexual, you know, like frustration or whatever with somebody, and he does that to his sister. Compare that to like, I don't know, you said father and daughter. Compare that to like how Maes Hughes treats his daughter in like Fullmetal Alchemist. Like he'll like just look at my daughter, she's so adorable. But it's kind of just like, you know, cutesy. It's not really, you know, you know he's not going any disturbing places with it.
Can you imagine like if he'd gotten a nosebleed over his daughter and then he has that big death and everyone at the funeral's just like. You know, it's better this way.
it's better this way.
I mostly make this reference to the fact that our friend Randy just had a daughter, and already he's like, I'm going to have to kill anybody who goes on a date with her.
Oh, well, and I'm over...
Legitimately is like, has a rifle by beside him the whole time he's doing this. I'm like,
that's
maybe it's
secret,
like the same logic.
That's a secret.
I'm protective of
fear
my sister,
with all men.
Too.
Yeah.
With all men, you have this secret underlying fear that if you ever have a daughter, like, what the fuck are you going to do when she becomes a teenager?
I mean, like, I have that fear for my sister, too. You know, just like, oh, there's going to be some guy who's going to, you know, try stuff with her, and I'll have to suddenly become intimidating. Someone's going to get a sternly worded email.
Someone's going to get a Y-Rot beat down.
He's going to write you a scathing review. Yeah.
He does not mess with me. I'll say your favorite series is terrible, and then you'll get mad.
Yeah. I'm going to make a... Yeah, go ahead.
So, Gaush is very angry, of course. He still wants to mess with the guy. And the nun says, you know, look, we don't have time for you to enact your revenge on this guy. You know, we need to get them to return the children's magic. You know, why? And she turns to the two of them and says, why did you do this? Children are the very future of this country. They're the three-leaf sprouts that grace the nation. Three-leaf sprouts.
That's what the title means.
Three-leaf sprouts is not a very, like, good term to use for someone. I get, the implication that, the sprout will bloom into, you know, a
Yeah, clover. The translation I'm reading just says they're the third leaf of our clover, which makes, it sounds better.
I think that sounds better as well. I like that, you know, they're a big part of our nation kind of thing. I understand, the sprouts that will be growing to our nation of the future and stuff, that is more, I guess, what she's trying to say. It's just not a very good title.
Also, I read all of Black Clover. I read all of it in like a single night, so I might have skipped something. But I got a tablet for Black Friday at Walmart. I'm like, I need to break this new tablet in. Oh well, I'm going to be appearing on this podcast. And 40 chapters of Black Clover. Yeah, I can read that in a night. And I had some weird experiences doing that. Yeah, just some weird things passing through my head. Because I don't know if you guys got it either, but it's like I'm reading this and like the first chapter is like. Kind of like Naruto vibes hitting me, and then Fairy Tale, and then when they go in the dungeon, I'm like, now it's Magi, and then Harry Potter, and I'm just getting all this shit in my head at a single time. But have they ever mentioned like what the other two leaves of the clover are symbolic of, or is that like the first time this has ever been brought up? Because I might have skipped something.
Brought it before. They just mentioned. Yeah. They mentioned the importance of a four-leaf clover book.
Yes,
obviously.
They did that.
And then
five-leaf clover for Asta, which has never really been mentioned since. But
I think they mentioned that there are four different kingdoms, and I think they're all based off of a suit of cards. I think
the clover itself
is necessarily relevant. Like I don't think the actual widgets or whatever you call the leaves of the clover. I guess I don't know if those are supposed to represent anything necessarily.
Maybe. I don't know. Yeah, because I know in the dungeon arc that guy was from the Diamond Kingdom, so yeah, that's where they're going with that. But
Let's see here.
Was that the end of the chapter, or was there...
There is a very...
I was like, did we finish?
Right, so...
Whenever a fight ends this quickly, you can guarantee shit's gonna go down, so...
Well, sometimes they just end the little mini-arc and then move on to the next one. And I thought that was what's gonna happen.
It's not necessarily that. It's whenever you have a fight that, like, the heroes just steamroll and they, like, encounter, like, little to no resistance. That one you need to be worried.
Last week, I said, well, I don't think that this fight's going to last any longer. I think this is the end of this, and, you know, we'll probably wrap up this mini-arc, and now that we've introduced Gaush, and move on to something else. It turns out, not only was I wrong, I was, like, the opposite of correct. Like, I mentioned the exact things that were wrong, and I had not mentioned them up to that point. Because as, basically, Pedostache Guy... is, you know, like, oh, this sucks. I just want to make easy money. He's complaining to himself when they just like, oh, brother, what should we do? And he's like, shut the fuck up. Oh, you're so useless, and so on and so forth. And then spatial magic appears behind Asta and Gaush and the nun, and out comes the weird scientist girl with the skirt that makes no sense.
They're actually shorts, though. At least they've changed into shorts this time.
It kind of reminds me of like an Indian, like, belly dancer sort of deal. I don't know.
That is a skirt, Chris.
Now, they are shorts that you can actually see, like, a connecting line on the inside of a
Oh, I guess they are. But that makes even less sense, though.
It's still
holding
like,
them up.
Why did you cut out the hips? It seems like such a strange design choice.
She had to do it to make her character look unique. You know, there you go.
I guess so.
Like, she could just be like Corinne from Naruto and have one side of her hair neat and the other side messy.
Yes.
God, I hated Corinne's design. I still think it's like the lamest character design I've seen in the series. I really think she's a background character after the time she showed up and then someone's biting her to regenerate health. It's like, oh, I guess she wants
to. I don't know. I've seen weirder character designs than that. It's, yeah.
Basically, she's like, oh, I'm going to decide everyone, and so on and so forth. So it seems as though she... these two brothers were connected to the evil organization that was introduced in the last big arc, and presumably this woman is where they got their magic extraction stuff from, because her gimmick is, you know, being a researcher type of thing.
Like Rule 63 Mayuri.
Oh, God, if she starts doing that...
Does that mean...
No.
That
she's giving off the vibes at the end of the chapter. She's giving off the Mayuri vibes, the way she's looking.
If she shows up next chapter dressed like a fucking sun.
Does that mean that she's going to have her own creation who is, like, this blatantly, like, sexy guy that's sort of her son that she has sex with whenever he is injured so that he'll get healed?
That would be a good subversion of that trope, though, where you have, like, you know, the mad scientist having the hot assistant, you know, that, like, it's usually male than female. That would be a good... I want that. I'm cool with that now. Yeah.
Okay. But, I mean, so far, she doesn't have, like, that... Because the two guys that she's associated with are, like, very much not that. You got, you know, the effeminate guy, and then you've got the guy, so...
The guy. No one likes him.
So that's the chapter. So, big surprise, there is, like, an actual important villain at the end of this arc. So, see how that goes.
Well, she also does, Gaush tries to attack her, and she does that, like, salamander thing she summons.
Right, it completely shuts down his attack for once after Gaush.
Yeah, like, I guess because his attack's, like, light-based, and it refracts it through the gel or whatever, so that's what she can do. That's... interesting.
But, you know, it shows that she's on a completely different level than...
Now the real fight starts here, which we might actually get to see what the nun can do now, because that would be pretty interesting.
Mm. Yeah, I have to assume she'll do something on there. When you basically create a nun that looks like she would be easily fit into, like, the Yakuza or something like
that. She's seen shit.
Yeah, we're gonna see some nun magic. If it's anything like the nuns I remember from Catholic school, she may eat peanut butter with her hands during class and then walk to your table, fart quietly, then leave. One of those two are going to do what
she
does.
She summons like a giant yardstick to, like, smack you with.
Yeah, no, they did threaten us with that quite a lot in Catholic school. They're like, you know, legally, we're still allowed to beat you. It was like, I don't think you are, but you're bragging about this a lot. You're confident you can.
I go to a Catholic college, and they're not quite that masochistic toward us, but yeah.
That's an important, I guess, step up from high school to college. Then Your teachers will not threaten to beat you. There you go. That's one of the benefits.
They still threaten you going to hell, though. It's okay. Yeah.
Let's
I just want to say I liked Black Clover this week.
No, you don't get to talk. Go ahead.
Now, I just want to say I feel bad. Alyssa was here during a week where I wasn't crazy about Black Clover, and this week I was like, oh, this is a really good chapter, because I like the fact that it didn't end with this notion that this is going to be a more important arc than it seemed originally. Mm-hmm. You know, with the one of the members of the—I forget what their group's name is—the Knights something, the Midnight Sun. That's it. The Midnight Sun showing up. I was like, oh, this is, you know, there's something bigger going on in this than just an arc to introduce Gouge and give him some more, you know, character development. So I'm actually quite excited for where this is going to go.
Yeah, I don't really expect this arc to last much longer, but maybe like two or three more chapters and see what she's going to do.
All right, let's move on to Bleach now. I kind of wish that you were here last week instead of this one, because not a lot happens.
Yeah,
in this
hold up,
chapter.
I have a drink on standby here. Okay.
Oh, okay. Awesome. Last time, a lot of stuff happened. Last time, Kira came back.
Yeah, that was a thing.
And his
made it very entertaining for my 200th review, though. I'm glad some actual shit happened.
His chest was sewn up. And Kubo explained this in the English version of Jump with an in-chapter note by saying, hey, you guys should buy 13 swords so you can know what happened.
It was in 13 Blades, and it was also in, when Volume 70 was released, there was like a bonus chapter in there which kind of shows Izuru being worked on by Mayuri.
It's not like a proper explanation, really. It's just like, how did he get those things? Someone put them there. Thanks.
I said in my review, I'm just like, could you at least, like, put a piece of cloth over that hole or something? Like, really?
Well, your shit's
I mean,
just
I know
hanging
it's Mayuri. I don't know. I mean, I know it's Mayuri, but you'd think he would come up with something a little bit more practical than just, like, three sticks holding him together.
He fought Flock of Flamingos, Lilibaro, who apparently, despite me, made of pure energy, also had weight. I don't know. But then we cut away from that very strange scene to this one, which now continues, where Gerard Valkyrie...
Do you think we go back to that, or was it just like a chapter to make you want to
buy
13 Blades? Like, it was just a self-insert advertisement for 13 Blades?
Can you imagine
Izuru never shows up after that again?
No. It would have been more funny is if Izuru, after he like takes out Lily Barrow, he just like holds up a copy of 13 Blades and just shows it to everyone. Like, you should read this to find out why I came out. Like,
how did you manage to defeat the Lilibaro monsters? Well, if you read my book, 13 Swords, you too can fight the angel monsters that are destroying our home.
No.
There's got to be an easier way.
It's got to be. It's like one of those old commercials, you know, everything's black and white. It's like, there's got to be a better way to cook eggs or something.
Fighting a Stern Ritter who thinks he's a god and is made of pure energy. It's so difficult. Your Bankai does nothing. Yep. And being a member of one of the four families with an anti-god sword is so much trouble. There has to be an easier way.
It's like him trying to take his sword out and like he finally pulls it out and actually like, cuts someone's heads off. Like, isn't there a more convenient sheath?
Something great. So when I was talking about it, you mentioned this too, Nick, or maybe it was Chris on the last one, where his sword, it doubles the weight of everything it cuts, but Lily's made out of, like, light. So you're wondering, like, how does that work? And I questioned that too. I'm like, does light have mass? And a bunch of my fans were like, actually, light does have mass, because if you look at it
it does,
it's
but it's also...
Because I have my fans that... I honestly didn't know, so it's good that my fans can pick up the slack there.
Yeah, well, it does have... The sphere nature of light, with the particle.
Yeah.
So.
But hey, Nick, this chapter, you actually called something pretty damn close there.
I was so close, and people were tweeting me this, like, as soon as it dropped, people were like, look, it's a boot! And it's like, oh, there's something.
When I saw that page, I was like, I was about to tweet you, but I figured most people would probably do that. I'm like, oh, you gotta be fucking kidding me.
I would have just, like, you know, stood up and walked around Victory March. It was like, I was just fucking around, but look at that, I'm fucking psychic.
That's like, from a guy that professionally analyzes Kubo for a living, you need to just let your mind go and just come up with the first thing that comes to mind, and just, there you go. You've achieved the Kubo status.
Now, Gerard Valkyrie has been getting his ass kicked, it seems. And yes. I guess if you listened / watched last week, then you know that we have decided he's Winnie the Pooh. So he goes on talking about, like, oh, do you know when miracles happen, Piglet? And he's basically talking about, you know, if a miracle occurs in a meaningless moment, people will not recognize it as a miracle. Yeah, It'd be like a glitch in the Matrix.
He's doing that thing where a lot of Stern Raiders do, like Gremmy and Pepe did, where their power is their personality, basically. Like, he's the miracle, so he's just going to go on and on about miracles all the fucking time.
And my favorite film is Miracle. I regularly sing, I Need a Miracle, Please Let Me Be Your Girl.
Did you watch my review? Because I played that when he did this.
I do remember that, yeah. He like, must have subconsciously planted it in after, so, yeah.
I didn't even know that song existed. I just typed it into YouTube. I just typed Miracle into YouTube. That's, like, one of the first things that came up. I'm like, oh, yeah, we're going.
Well, you found a cover version, so.
Yeah, I had to use a cover version, but, yeah.
Well, because YouTube, right.
It probably wouldn't have, but I'm always really self-conscious about, like, something like that happening, so I always just use covers, and I change the pitch or whatever, but...
So, Gerard says, a miracle is a miracle because it occurs in a crisis, and Byakuya decides to shut him up by just sending this giant wave of Senban Sakura right at his head.
Shreds his fucking skull.
Talk to the sword, you know. His freaking helmet goes flying. I think it's, like, implied that his head's been just carved to pieces.
Just gone. Shredded. Like a freaking pumpkin.
And poor Hinamori, like, his helmet, like, lands right in front of her, and she's got her sword out, and she's like...
She's like, did we really need to go this far, guys?
And fucking Bakia's like, we need to do more! he's like Mudhole stomping his dick into the ground, like, can we dismember this thing more?
And Hiraku's like, well, judging from the way he was talking, he had something up his sleeve. It's like, maybe he was bluffing, you psychos!
Hinamori, jam your fingers into his neck wounds!
And she's like, ah!
Burn his corpse apart with Hinamori's on. Tobi Yume! I had it first! Son of a bitch, you don't get one up on the Bleach guy.
Wait for me!
Okay, name all 10 of Spada's aspects of death. Go.
No.
Okay,
anger,
I'm still.
Anger, loneliness.
Son of a bitch.
That's literally like the only ones I remember. The first and the last one.
Yeah. I'm still the champion.
Wasn't one just death? I thought that was Baragon's. It was just death.
Baragon was age.
Oh, right. That makes sense because he had the time thing.
It was age, yeah.
Okay.
We're all such nerds.
I do remember that chapter where they made a big deal about the aspect of death, and I was like, okay, what's this have to do with anything? Nothing.
Do you have a mini version of Tensasan Getsu that you're holding right now? No? Okay, I'm the Bleach guy. I know this.
I don't have any Bleach merch. I lied. I do have one piece of Bleach merch.
The great thing
there
about buying Bleach merch...
Kenpachi Kiki.
Oh, you have a little Kenpachi, cool. Yeah, I have a Grimmjow, one of those, yeah.
I would like the one too, that's cool. Anyway.
The great thing about buying Bleach stuff for me, though, is that I use it all for my videos. I can use that as a tax write-off.
Just have to remember to include... Oh, God. Let's see here.
Yeah, I bought this Uehara hat, so can I write that off? Because I'm using it for my videos.
So, after Byakuya has double-tapped Gerard about 4 times or so, they walk past him finally, and they're like, okay, let's go. And then this giant foot rises up behind them. It's just the boot is the only thing in the shot for the first 2 pages of this. Like, it's no wonder people were tweeting me about this. Like, look, the giant boot! And it's like, oh, wait, there's a giant. Okay.
I was originally going to play a scene from the SpongeBob SquarePants movie where Patrick's like, bigger boot! That would have worked perfect.
But, so Gerard Valkyrie has turned into a giant.
Yes.
And he says, I am the... Sorry. The Miracle Gerard! Now, this game is way, way too, like, snooty for Pooh. I'm sorry.
My power is exchanging what has been wounded with God's size.
And that's it. Like, he took a bunch of damage. So their attempts to defy anime convention and actually make sure he's dead over and over again have actually played against them because he's now even bigger than he would have been before. I'm actually really disappointed by this power, though. Like, we were throwing out all these weird ideas for, you know, what he could be. Like, he could turn into, like, super effeminate Thor, like Chris Jesse. Could have turned into something weird. Like,
oh, hang on. My theory's not dead yet. He hasn't released.
That's true.
That's true, yes. I even heard theories because Valkyrie means, like, a female, like, angel sort of deal. He was going to go all like that, yeah. But, yeah, his power is basically, like, just a simpler version of Yami's. That's all
exactly.
It is.
We've seen this before. And it's kind of weird that... Because this is, I think, the second case of Kubo just repeating powers from the Espada to the Sternritter. Because
What was the first one?
Pepe is basically Zomari.
Yeah. Zomari, yeah.
And also, you know, dark-skinned weirdos of their respective groups, too. So.
Yeah.
So it's...
And also,
it's
also Byakuya fought both of them, actually.
So, I don't know, it's kind of weird. I mean, yeah, we haven't seen him released yet. Maybe his next form will actually be weird, and he'll go through, like, three more form changes. Anyhow, so he just picks up this building and tosses it at them, and the platform starts to collapse underneath them. Hinamori looks like she's about to fall, and Hirako reacts by grabbing her hand, but then Valkyrie just comes up and just, crap, like a bug.
Has Shinji done anything significant this entire arc except get his ass kicked?
I don't think that he has done anything at all of consequence. He hasn't gotten, like, to look competent even since he schooled Grimmjow.
I was going to say, because I was like, even when they first revealed his Shikai, Aizen
like,
still countered it.
All perception. What are you trying to do?
And then so it's like, I don't think there's ever been a scene where his actual Shikai was useful.
Yeah, every time he uses his Shikai, there's always an easy way for the enemy to get around it. Like, Aizen is Aizen, so he just kind of gets a get-out-of-jail-free card. But when he used it against Bambietta, he's like, oh, you can't see up from down, left from right. And Bambietta's like, oh, I'll just explode everything then. I'm like, oh, wait, you can't do that. Yes, I can, bitch!
He's like, oh, buttercups.
Oh, buttercups.
Byakuya also tries to stop Valkyrie, of course, and he's just like, whatever.
It just bounces.
Smashes all the buildings in Byakuya's general vicinity. He blows really hard. Like, I'm being literal there. I'm not saying, like, oh, this power sucks. He just, you know, takes a deep breath and, like, huffs and puffs.
We know you're writing a fan fiction right now about Harold Valkyrie, Nick, so just quit giving us spoilers for that.
He's big where it counts, okay?
Well, if you take the shot of him throwing that tower, and you kind of look at the position of that tower...
He
does kind of look very phallic.
Yeah, he's compensating for stuff, you know.
Yeah, he's like, I grow enormous, except for the genital region. That stays the same size.
Oh. So that's why his voice gets high like when he's
doing it. Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, he now has basically just kicked everyone's asses in the span of about five pages, and he stands tall with them. And he's like,
do not lament, because no matter how much you lament, there will be no miracle.
Okay.
It's the same shit that happens at the beginning of every fight with the Sternritters. We had Pernida at first kicking the crap out of Kenpachi, and then we have Lile seemingly winning against Shunsui. Like, the first chapter's like an easy win for the Sternritter, and then after that they have to figure out what to do. And
so if there's going to be another Soul Reaper to show up this time, who the hell would it even be?
I feel like it's going to be Shinji and Hinamori. Doing something like this.
Do another, a captain and vice-captain bonding fight.
I think what will happen... I'll go out on a prediction here. I think it'll be Shinji and Hinamori primarily. We'll get Shinji's Bankai. It'll get defeated.
Yeah.
Hinamori will try to go against him. And then Hitsugaya shows up for the save. And that he's the one who kind of puts the end to Gerard.
What... A hilarious idea I heard about this was because if he gets hurt more, he gains all this power. If Hanataro shows up and heals him, and that weakens him,
he's like, I'm the hell
has he been this whole time?
He's been hiding under a rock this entire time, probably. That's the winning move for Hanataro. But he just like shows up. He's like, I got this, guys, and I'll be like. You'd be pissed, but at the same time, you'd be like, you know what? That was pretty awesome. Hanataro wins.
I showed up, guys, with the two Soul Reapers from the very beginning of this arc. You know, the small kid and the girl with the no hair and the umbrella in her head.
Shino and Ryunosuke.
I still don't understand that. Like, why did? Why were they? Never mind.
They were there just to. Blah, 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 blah.
They were there for the important task of. Like, nothing happens really in this chapter, honestly. Like,
no, it's just the first initial thing where you find out about his power. That's like all it is.
I'm just so disappointed. Has growing big ever been a cool power? I feel like every time I see it nowadays, it's always lame. Like, everyone just uses it, and then it's like, I'm super big. And then, you know, someone else of the 90th of their size punches them once, and they're like, oh, I've been toppled.
Yeah, that's why they had, you know, Ant-Man do a bunch of different stuff when the movie came out, as opposed to just shrinking and growing, because just doing that is boring.
Yeah.
I'm let down so far. Maybe the miracle that he keeps on talking about is the fact that his release is actually a more interesting power. But yeah, that's Bleach.
That's that. The one question I had, though, was... how exactly does that power activate? Because he was pretty much already shredded to little chunks of jelly before it activated. You know, it's just one of those things you don't know.
He has to wait for his second main phase, and then it activates.
I guess so. Yeah, main phase 2, and then go ahead and activate your quick spell. I don't know.
Yeah.
Distortion, yeah. We have to, like, start writing up Gerard Valkyrie's effect, monster effect.
Yeah, I don't know.
Would he be an XZ's? Would he be a ritual? What do you think?
When I did Lily Barrel, I actually went to Yu-Gi-Oh! Card Maker and made him an XZ's.
I guess that makes sense. Yeah.
Oh, you're both Bleach and Yu-Gi-Oh! Nerds.
We are. I'm so sorry. I got Yu-Gi-Oh! Cards in the mail the other day, actually. Someone sent them to. Yeah.
You get so much crap, dude.
I do. You just... Guys, get a P.O. box and just ask people to send you stuff. It works, trust me.
Nick, I get one, Nick's like, so did anything come in? You just see me wearing like a crown and a scepter. I'm like, no, nothing's come in, Nick. It's so weird.
I got this little cat thing, but yeah.
Kind of makes you look like Felix the Cat.
It's designed after the cat from Fooly Cooly.
Okay.
If you remember that, Takun. Yeah, that's my favorite anime, so that's why they sent it to me.
Let's see. Alright, so you said Fairy Tail did technically come out this week, but it didn't come out officially, so I think we're going to just skip it. Unless you want to tell us... If you want to tell us what actually definitely happened.
What definitely actually happened, right?
Totally happened.
Okay. Well, you seriously want me to go down this road?
You, in your words, tell us what happened in the chapter that you believe you read today, and we will take it as universal fact and react to it next week.
All right, I'll throw in some facts, but I'm also gonna... Okay, so first, after, you know, Natsu leaves the battlefield, you have Xerath there, who strips naked and wants a change of clothes. And then we move on to the middle of a forest where we see Happy and Natsu, and Natsu's like, what the hell, I couldn't care about Xerath, and Happy's just like, no, but friendship, and he's like, oh, okay. And then we cut to various scenes.
This sounds actually like a 100% believable chapter thus far. It's some fan service, some friendship, is that the end? Is there credits at the end? Like, do we continue next week?
Yeah, that continues on for about 7 chapters, though, for Natsu to get to that. Eh, whatever. And then we just cut over to different scenes of the different guilds fighting against the Spriggan 12, and the Spriggan 12 are all defeated, and the arc ends.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
That's super accurate.
This sounds pretty exciting, actually. This sounds like a great chapter for next week.
Yeah. And, we may get to see what the Wizard Saints do. May, possibly.
I guess that actually would make sense. They did show up and then not get to do anything.
Oh, and Brandy gets strangled to death.
What, Brandish?
Is it a sexy strangling? Is that like his new fetish?
You know, she was in like the sex dungeon when it happened. I don't know if they
Does she like fucking David Carradine? Like she just starts auto-asphyxiating herself in the cell and you're like, you're already like handcuffed. How did you think you were going to get out of this?
That's her true magic power, actually. Is like bondage, like the BDSM thing, yeah.
Well, we've already had that. I feel like her power should be the ability... magical erotic auto asphyxiation should be your magical power.
Yeah, but it was mostly focusing on Zeref. I mean, Hiro really went into detail on that guy's abs. Like, it was crazy detail.
Each ab got its own page.
You know, that would seem out of character for Hiro. I would say that seems out of character for Hiro, but I did see that Christmas special recently.
There were some man abs in that.
Yeah. And a lot of godders that just needs to get laid talk, basically.
Yeah. Anyhow. Oh, Ichiya dies. Ichiya dies.
Yay!
Yeah. That happens. He's like, a parfum for death! And then he dies. So, whatever.
I think I heard he comes back to become the 10th guildmaster, though.
But then Makarov's like, no, actually, I'll take over. Yay, 11th guildmaster! I'm a four-time guildmaster!
He's just one step away from being Booker T. One-time guildmaster, two-time guildmaster, three-time, four-time guildmaster! He's spinneroonying on the floor. Giant size, trips over a rock, falls, I've been defeated! Save me!
I think Makarov should have honestly died a long time ago. All the shit he's had to deal with, he's like, oh my god,
we thought that he was actually going to die at one point, and then you're fine.
One point, it's been like a few times we thought he was gonna die.
Well, there were like, several points, yeah, where it's like, why is the Makarov just
dead? And even like way back earlier on in the series, like around the Tower of Heaven arc, there was like Makarov was like, oh, I guess it's time for me to step down soon and pick a successor, and it's just like, here we are like 8 years later, and it's still.
He's like, I'm old as shit. I might as well keep going things.
I don't even care anymore.
I'll just Joe Paterno this.
Yeah.
Let's move on to Food Wars, Shokugeki no Soma. Chapter. What number are we on? 147.
Now I'm hungry.
Ketchup.
Not for ketchup, though.
Chapter 147, Bijin counterattack. With
the ultimate secret ingredient.
Yeah, which has all... Food Wars has all sorts of special color pages this week. The cover of Jump was a Food Wars thing. Soma, like, on one side. And then you've got Arina's father up above the entire... Well, not the entire council, but most of the council. Really badass image, I think. Basically all the members of the council that side with him, minus Azon. I know Azon's there, too. Is that all of them? I think that's all of them that side with him.
I have just started Kuga, reading
the,
like
the, Kuga, the guy with the hat, Arina, and Ishiki.
Yeah.
And also Christmas special pages too. So, yeah. Last time
the Christmas
shameless ones.
The Christmas page isn't that fan servicey though, so that's a plus.
It feels like it's fan servicey.
I didn't get that impression.
I mean, I guess Arina just has enormous tits, so no matter what, they're just going to feel fanservice-y.
Well, I think Megumi's looks cute. Arina, though, is like, because she's kind of like, oh, I can't believe I'm wearing this embarrassing thing.
That is actually her thing, though, isn't it?
What?
Full disclosure, I've only watched, like, 6 episodes of the anime in, like, the last few chapters, so I don't have everyone's names down pat yet.
Oh, that's okay, you'll just be like Chris, then.
Hey!
Yeah, but Megumi, she's the blue-haired one, right? I mean, Megumi?
Yes, Tadakoro, yeah.
Okay, all right.
Todoroki!
Okay.
That's for My Hero Academia.
I know everyone's name.
Last time, after Azon presented his dish, which Chris found lacking to the lack of honey mustard, Soma presented his
dish. So close, Nick. I was so close.
Actually, kind of.
It was just one other common addition sauce to food.
He'll use honey mustard at some point.
It's gonna happen. He's gonna be like, now, the grand topping to my sundae! The honey mustard perfectly blends the ice cream and the bacon together!
And they'll be like, you've ruined the natural flavors of the vanilla and the bacon.
That steak will never taste great if you put vanilla ice cream and honey mustard all together, they perfectly complement one another!
So two of the judges are reacting to Soma's dish, and they're freaking out over it. And, so Soma has said that there is some sort of secret ingredient, and Azon's like, what is it? What is this ingredient you speak of? And, the judges are freaking out. They're like, how is it possible that the Jidori chicken is, its flavor is still so strong? And, Rindo then comes up, and she's like, oh, give me my food too! And, she She says, I mean, didn't you see how much Azon loved it, so there's no way I can't pass up this chance. She takes a bite, and she doesn't get naked or anything like that. Her clothes don't disintegrate.
You said that so disappointed.
I'm just saying, it's like, this could have... At once, this is less shameful and... Well, less shameless, rather, and yet more shameless than I was expecting. Because I think she orgasms in this picture. Because she's, like, grabbing herself. Like, ugh.
Also, I mean, I might not, just because I don't know a lot about the series, does this chick turn into a vampire when she eats the...
With her fangs?
She just has fangs.
She just has fangs.
She just has fangs?
She just has fangs. Well, it's never addressed or been brought up to this point. She just has fangs.
They did, yeah.
Okay. But I'm cool with that, as long as there's no explanation.
Her thing is that she...
Her best friend's a robot. Sometimes she goes back in time. She's a really weird character in the series.
Her thing is that she is a high-ranking member of the Council of Ten, but she actually eats other people's food more than she cooks, it seems. So,
I'm sorry. All right, then. I just want to read this. This is completely tangential. I just got a tweet from a message from my dad. Was watching you on TV. One of your friends looks like a girl, and the other looks like a nerd. You are the only professional. And I want you two to debate amongst yourselves which one looks like the girl and which one looks like the nerd.
I hope he's the girl, because your dad must have seen a bunch of goateed women otherwise.
He's traveled the world. He lived a while in Turkey. He very well may have.
Well, either way, I think that honestly, we probably...
Okay, just quantifies it as one of us looks like a nerd.
And before I cut my hair, before I cut my hair, I did get mistaken for a girl a lot where I work. From my back, people would be like, "Excuse me, miss, can you check me out?" I'm like, "Well, I'm a guy, but I'll check you out. Fine, I work in a dollar store." Just to give context to that story.
And then they're like, "Oh God, thank God that I actually picked up an item from the store so that I could have my backup option there."
Sometimes they don't even apologize. They're just like, "Okay, whatever."
It doesn't matter. You're
yeah.
You're
I'll take the girl off your shoulders, Nick. You can be the nerd. It's okay.
Wait.
Tangent thought as well. When I was in my much fatter days, and at the point of time where I just let my hair grow super long and didn't do anything with it, it would get really curly.
Yes.
I was in a Radio Shack once, and like a guy came up and was like, "Excuse me, ma'am." And like I turned, and I was wearing like some super lame shirt that was just like a dude with one girl, and it's like a dude with two girls better, and then like a dude playing video games best, like the nerdiest, lamest shirt I could have had. And like I kind of looked at him like, "Oh, dude, come on!" And he was still like, "Ma'am, do you need anything?" Like he must have been fucking with me at that point. Like he saw it, he's like, "Oh, this little queef." He said, "I'm just gonna beat on him all night." But I was sad at the time. I was like, "Oh, come on!"
The last time I was in a Radio Shack, I was wearing a polo shirt, and I got mistook for one of the employees there.
Last time I was in a Radio Shack, it was like this abandoned building I was standing in for some reason.
They said it was going to turn to a Supercuts in 10 minutes.
Yeah, no, Starbucks.
Anyway, yeah. So the judges are analyzing Soma's dish, and they're like, "I don't understand, you know, how everything, you know, works together so well. You know, the Parmesan, and so on and so forth, and the umami, and blah de blur de blur." Cooking terms that Nick still doesn't understand, because he doesn't cook for a living. And Azon recalls that Soma said that the answer was in the ankake sauce, and so Azon demands that you quit stalling and tell us what the ingredient is. And Soma says, "It's ketchup."
Just ketchup.
It's like a 30-minute long explanation about the enzyme acids in it, but he's like, it ultimately just comes down to ketchup.
And he doesn't say like it's ketchup. Ketchup is like white with black outline in the bubble, so he's like, "It's ketchup! Special and stuff." And
ketchup? Ketchup.
And he just goes on like, yeah, this huge lecture on ketchup.
This is how all the technique, all the taste and umami and stuff combine together. The acidity of the ketchup is what brings it. I don't know.
Do any of you guys really like ketchup? You big ketchup people.
Okay.
My friend Frank, who I've mentioned before on the show, when we were in grade school, he was a ridiculous ketchup fan. Like, he put ketchup on everything. His mashed potatoes, he put ketchup on.
I did that with barbecue sauce.
Yeah, it was like pizza, he put ketchup on everything. And I think since then I've grown a little bit of a, not hatred for it, but I don't eat it on most anything except like fries that I don't really like.
Yeah, bad fries need ketchup.
Basically, yeah, it's sort of like my way of insulting your fries indirectly if like I get
this
a bottle
needs
of ketchup.
Ketchup.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm just gonna put ketchup on this.
Let's see. So one of the judges freaks out after hearing this whole explanation, and he's like, "Oh, at first it seems like a train wreck. But once you taste it, you realize it's an amazing combination of ingredients. This level of well-thought-out perfection isn't something that can be hit on out of the blue. How did you ever come up with this idea?" And Soma says that the idea of using tomatoes for
this purpose... ketchup on everything!
Just put ketchup on everything.
This is dumb
luck!
I
didn't even know. I just happened to know a lot about ketchup statistics, and I just put it in there, and hey, everything worked out.
Ketchup's I was actually great. Reaching for salt, and the ketchup just fell in, and I thought I had to kind of
like,
go with
huh.
it.
Just like sticks his finger in the pot. Yeah, that'll work.
Yeah, so this actually turned out pretty good.
Like the guy who invented potato chips and stuff.
Yeah.
He explains that this is an idea that he came up with his dorm mates when they were experimenting with cooking together. And we cut over to the Polar Star
dorm. Their dorm mates were experimenting. Okay, Nick.
Hey, the way that they are friendly with each other, you don't know. I've seen some of Tasha's other works.
I haven't. I'm not sure. I'll take your word for it there.
Dude, there's like this tentacle monster as the star of everyone. I'm just kidding.
And he goes back in time to fight crime. It's an awesome series.
And, you know, there's like two pages of him fucking a girl, but, you know, it's not the
he has to. That's the way he keeps going. It's like constantly. Like, that's how he goes back in time. He has to fuck a girl.
It's actually like an awesome. It's like an educational manga series where you learn about history and stuff, but then he's just like, oh no, I've got to bang this girl.
With a time-traveling tentacle monster? Okay.
Oh my god, hold on. This is going down in the idea book
it's like
as
the
well. Michael Jackson battle series. Time-traveling sex addict.
So
we'll do that. That's fine.
The struggle at the Polar Star Dharma is still going on, but Hisako isn't actually helping with the students there. She's just, like, in her, like, war gear, basically, and she's just guarding Arina's room, which actually makes sense, because you don't want Arina to be taken while everyone's distracted and stuff. And Hisako starts talking to... Arina starts talking to Hisako through the door, and she says, you know, the people in this dorm are kind of weird, and she explains through a flashback... that, you know, people were pestering her the entire time that she was staying there to taste their dishes and so on and so forth. And so she was like, okay, and she gave her honest opinion on them and so on. And then, I always forget this girl's name, with the buns, but she...
Bun Cake.
Huh?
Bun Cake.
Bun Cake.
That's
no.
her name.
No, it's not. It's not actually.
Is she staying next to Froyo?
Froyo.
I believe that one. I have no idea who that dude is.
And then
it's
the big...
a manga about food. They should all have food names.
Yeah, and then there's the other dude down there. His name is Snyders of Hanover.
What?
Snyders of Hanover, the pretzel people.
Okay.
The pretzel people, Nick.
I don't eat pretzels.
The fuck? You're already like, I don't like chocolate. Now you're like, ew, pretzels.
He's like, oh. Nutty anti-dessert guy. Anyhow.
Like, I have a very strict diet.
Basically.
I don't anything I don't like. I don't like anything.
I think her name begins with a Y. I'm not sure. Anyway, she has brought a dish for Arina to taste. The same dish as before, but she's tweaked it. And Arina says, wait a minute, the changes you made are nothing like I told you to do. And she can tell this just by looking at it. And she's like, well, yeah, duh. And Arina's like, I mean, no, what are you doing? This is completely the opposite. I mean, I told you that galantine is a dish that should be served cold, and you're doing this and that and so on and so forth. What have you done? And then she finally tastes it, and she's like, I know this is just going to be worse than yesterday. And she's like, wait, this is actually better. And so she, you know, has basically had this weird kind of freak out over this because, like, someone has actually, like, heard my criticism, and I gave them advice on what to do, and she completely followed, like, the exact opposite as opposed to just... listening to what I had to say. And this is the first time I've ever experienced that. Literally every other time in my life, people would treat my taste as like the end all be all. I was always unequivocally correct. But here at Polaris, crazy idea after crazy idea bounce off one another, leading to answers that no one could have predicted. And that ties into what Soma's done, basically, is he has found the solution that essentially has been dismissed by Azon. And this is really why he's actually protecting Polaris. When he said that, you know, he was kind of protecting it for selfish reasons, it's because it actually means a lot to his development as a chef. He knows that he can learn a lot of things that he wouldn't be able to learn anywhere else. And he says that the dish holds every day I've spent at Polaris in it, the dorm you're trying to shut down, and all the ideas and experiences we bounced off each other, that's where all this came from. So I think it's... I like the way it all ties together, because it was something that kind of got pushed to the side a little bit at, over the course of Soma kind of manipulating Azon or to actually confront him head-on, and so on and so forth. That aspect of it got kind of pushed to the side a little bit, but now it all comes back, and also ties into the whole thing with Arena. So, good stuff. And Soma eventually addresses the middle judge, the one who hasn't eaten his dish yet, and he says, you know, I bet you believe that boring and bland idea that there's just one correct answer to cooking. Well, my dish will break you out of that cage, so go on, dig in. It'll smash your fossilized little world to pieces. And he says it with this almost evil look on his face. He's that cocky about it. He's so smug. He knows he's got this.
And I've sure enough, dominated.
The guy digs in, and he's like, it's good! And
his, like, mouth, like, goes concave, like, it gets sucked down his throat. And just...
and Azon is objecting to this, like, wait, you, I'm not going to really, and... But no, it's too late, he's tasted it, he's reacting to it, and Soma says, how about you give it another thought? All that cooking you dismissed is worthless. Might actually have some value after all, don't you think? And we get this brief collage of the people at Polaris still fighting against Azon's goons, the judges continuing to chow into Soma's food because they can't get enough of it. Eventually they vote. Finally, Soma whips off his headband saying, hey, Azon Senpai, happy to serve. I like the other translation of this, which was, it wasn't much, because that seems like the appropriate line to deliver when Azon's like, because he's just beating him 3-0. Soma won.
Swish, flawless victory.
What did you think about that?
All because of ketchup.
In some respects, it sort of seems like this was a little easy for Soma, honestly. But when I think about it from the perspective of Azon wasn't taking this seriously from the beginning, because he was counting on his dirty tricks to get him through, maybe if he had taken the challenge seriously at first, he would have actually had a plan as opposed to, I know, I'll use chicken to make chicken stock! Then he would have probably presented a dish that was actually, you know, had the level of thought put into it that Soma's did, and he would have, maybe his cooking would have actually defeated Soma, because his Shokugeki record was brought up before as being really good and stuff.
I don't know, I mean, he should have added ketchup to that chicken, and he might have had
or honey mustard!
No, we're not getting to honey mustard yet, Nick.
That's when he needs to beat a zombie. He can't, that's his trick to get one over. Zombie's like, ew, honey mustard, no one would eat that. Why don't you try it, bud? He's like, it should be on everything! Why isn't it on everything?
That's the 500th chapter special.
Yeah. Well, no, there's something interesting. No, we know Aizon's kind of, you know, gimmick is that he's the business-oriented guy. So in a way, it actually kind of makes sense that his cooking style, especially in this case, his mind immediately doesn't necessarily go for what would be the best food, but what would be the most profitable. Because you know the thing he gave was what everyone at the table was kind of expecting. Like, this is the ideal way to present a jidori. It's, you know, the chicken itself complemented with this rice and the other shit that was
and
on it,
so
you know.
Simple.
Yeah, like, this is exactly what you'd want. And that's, you know, that's a great way to, you know, have that mentality at a restaurant. But we know that Azon is exceptionally skilled as a chef, but he went into this situation thinking like a businessman, because that was kind of his instantaneous thought too. Was like, I'll beat this guy. I wonder, you know, if there's a rematch, they could still play into it. You know, Aizon might be the one kind of less favored now, but you know, there's definitely a room for potential of a good rematch between these two down the line, or at least a rematch between Aizon and someone else within the Soma Alliance or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, like that. Yeah. That nitpick, really aside, I mean, I like the way that the chapter ties together. I like the fact that they said this dish embodies what the Polar Star Dorm means to Soma and why it's important to him that he wants to protect it and stuff. And tying that into what Arena has learned about the dorm as well in the time that she's been there, saying that, you know, this is the unique quality of this dorm, And, you know, Irina discovers that, and Azon discovers that as Soma beats him. And also, you couldn't have had Soma lose at this point, so...
No, not really.
So, for the most part, I'm very happy with it. So.
Someone posted in the chat, like, Azon lacks the imagination that a true chef should have. Like, yeah.
I think he might have it, though. I think this is a situation, though, where he didn't rely on it. He's thinking too much like that businessman.
Yeah, the first thought.
It's kind of like that that Shokugeki with the teacher, who, you know, it was like, you stagnated, you know? And
Ninomiya? No? Damn.
That's Bakuman!
I don't get these references!
It's World Trigger, and I forgot. Fuck, what is his name? Shinomiya! I was so close! I was so close to it!
Chris, are we going to be doing another fan fiction reading at the end of this episode?
I don't have one prepared, but if you give me 3 minutes, I can cobble one together, probably. I'm like, and Osamu stuck his dick into Kitora while Captain America high-fived the cast of Boardwalk Empire minus the last season, because that was pretty bad. You'd killed off everyone good. And it just descends from there.
We're witnessing the creative process of the genius behind World Trigger to My Heart and Back.
Is there a better word for dick?
Wang?
Man Lance. There we go.
Meat sausage.
Yeah.
That's food worth.
He took his towering Garard the Valkyrie and slammed it into her Black Clover Void Magic book. Nah, that doesn't work at all.
Into My Hero Academia.
Giant Walking Elephant Island.
You should be copywriting this. This is gold. I don't know if you just want to give this out for free.
I know. Well, you know what? You got to give them a little Susan first. Then they come to the main course.
After you're done working on your Michael Jackson battle manga.
I added onto it, Bad would have sexy leather powers, of course. Smooth Criminal would have a magic hat. And then I just started...
I
started going off of it from there, and then I added a Kiss from a Rose. It's not Michael Jackson, it's Seal, but I feel like they're in the same kind of wheelhouse. And he would have, of course, Rose powers.
Yes, of course.
So, I feel like we're making good progress on this, but I stopped to think of my time-traveling sex addict series. I think maybe... I'm thinking of making, like, an Avengers-verse. Like, these series cross over at points.
Do you have these up on fanfiction.net or what?
One of them is on fanfiction.net, and okay. I finally got my first unironic review.
Unironic, okay.
Yeah, most of the people are, like, listeners who are just like, this was, you know, better than the amazing. Odyssey. This is incredible. I got one person finally who was like, this was awful. You suck. And I was like, thank you. This is all I wanted.
He's like, fuck Isamu. Chisamu all the way.
That's what I'm really waiting for when it takes off and I start getting opposite ships coming. They'd be like, fuck you.
I don't have the attention span to write fan fiction. I get, like, one chapter in, and I'm just like, I'm bored now. I'm going to go away and do something else.
That's why you get right to the sex parts. Keeps you engaged.
The only fan fiction I ever attempted to write was a Naruto one, and it was based on Han, the Five Tails. I don't think I worked a sex scene in there, but now I might have to go back and revisit that.
Think about
Maybe that's how it'll relaunch.
Start with it. You know what? Start with the sex scene, then work your way to how we get to that point. Start in media res, in mid-coitus, and then we work our way to that point.
Yeah,
add details in, we have to wonder about, like, how did Naruto get bald? What happened?
I don't know, but Han is like this 6-foot giant that wears steam armor. I don't really know who he could have sex with safely. I have to think about that for a little bit.
This is the mystery you build your universe on.
This
is your polar bear on an island.
My Hero Academia.
Yeah, let's do that. Now, I have not read any of this at all except for the last chapter, and a little bit confusing. But yeah, I just jumped into chapter 71. But it had the go ahead. But yeah, it has the bath scene, which is
all you have to know right now is the fact that they are students at a hero academy where they learn to be superheroes and stuff, and they are.
Yeah, see, I'm reading One Punch Man right now, so it's very similar.
Well, no, it's not.
No, it's not. I figured, yeah.
So, last time, the Pussycats knocked all of the kids down a mountainside so that they would fall into this forest inhabited by all these dangerous creatures and basically forced them to just trek through it to the site of their training camp. And they arrive later than the instructors basically said that they would. They arrive at, like, 5 in the evening as opposed to around lunchtime. And everyone's got, you know, a few scrapes and bruises and looking kind of dirty. Mineta is like, I don't know if his weird sticky things are dripping or if he's actually bleeding from the head. If it's the latter, then he might want to get that looked at.
Maybe.
It might be urine, because didn't he have to pee himself last time? Maybe,
I gotta pee.
Also, look, I understand I don't read a lot of this, and I'm not going to constantly bog it down by you having to explain things to me, but there's one thing I need to know about. What's the deal with that one panel where there's a guy with no head?
That's the invisible girl. There's one girl who's invisible.
Okay.
That's her power.
Okay.
It actually plays in later. It's a female character, and you'll notice in the bath scene, there's a spot that looks like weird distorted water.
Oh, that's what that was.
That's what she is.
All right. Okay, I'm not going to bother you anymore. Go ahead.
So, they arrive, and the Pussycats are like, oh, it's good that you're here. And some of them are complaining. It's like, you said it was only going to take a few hours. And one of them is like, that's how fast we would have gone. Whatever. Although, the other has compliments for some of them. You know, it's like, oh, yeah, you figured out how to deal with my Earth Beast, and, hey, you four specifically are really good. And she points out Bakugo and Todoroki and Deku and Ida, and she says, I'm guessing, you know, your past experiences allowed you to act without hesitation. Although, Bakugo's past experience was him getting smothered by a slime monster.
He's always about fighting things. Yeah. And then jumping into action.
He did fight toe-to-toe with All Might and get his ass kicked.
Yeah, we know these other ones are used to it because they fought against a real supervillain with Stain and all that. But Bakugo has always just kind of been like, there's a reason to fight this thing? Nah, I don't need that. I'm just going to jump right into this one.
Let's see. And Deku points out, hey, by the way, whose kid is that with you? And pointing out the kid who is the third member of the group. And one says, actually, he's my nephew, Coda.
And fucking state just straight jabs fucking Deku in the nuts.
Like, there's getting hit in the nuts. And then
hit in the fucking nuts.
Then there is planting one foot and following through into them because he just so
happens. Wait, Nick, hold on, wait. Let's do that again. Give me some daps, Nick.
I feel like he's done that before. Like
he's taking
exactly
forever.
Like how to maximize the concussive damage.
You fucked that up, Nick. It made me look like I was just gonna hold.
I can't see you.
Like I was just wait. You could have assumed what I was doing. I said, "Do it again. We're gonna do some daps." And you're like,
"I'm
like sitting there for like a minute. Like fuck, man."
It took me all of 10 seconds to respond and do the follow through.
Don't you guys have like a brainwave link or some psychic thing going on?
No, we're actually horrible at improv with each other. We did it once at MAGFest. It went horribly, and we clearly have no chemistry.
We've gotten better at it since then. But normally, it's either completely verbal or one of us can actually see the other.
All right, Nick. All right, give me your snooty face. Oh, sticking her tongue out. Fine. Guess what I'm doing for the next 5 minutes.
I think I know what you're doing for the next 5 minutes.
This whole experience just means that I need to get some sort of co-host for when I do my show. more subs.
Oh, you should get a British one so you can make fun of him. He's just like, I thought it was a pretty good chat. Oh, did you think it was a pretty good chat in there? Was it coming out? Pip, pip.
There is a guy I know that's British that reviews Bleach, so maybe we can do that.
So, Coda says that he doesn't want to abide with jerks who want to be heroes. And Bakugo says, cute kid. And Todoroki is like, man, you two are weirdly alike, of course.
Well, he looks like a little Bakugo if you just changed his hair color.
Really? They've got the same eyes, yeah. Aizawa says, all right, you know, get everything moved in and then come have dinner with us. Hurry up. Everyone we see later in the mess hall really digging in. This is like they're eating Shokugeki no Soma food or something. They're freaking out over it so much. You know, they're going like, the flavor is seeping into every part of me. Oh, it's as good as lunch rushes. It's wonderful. Nom, nom, nom. And then what?
They transferred Soma in for this one thing.
I was wondering for like 5 minutes. Both times I read it, I was wondering why they made a note about Lunch Rush, and I finally just read that they actually do mention his name somewhere in there. Seriously, both references, like, where does he come up? It doesn't seem to cop up anywhere. Did they just note this in there? Like, the translator was just like, hey guys, also, they have a school cafeteria dude, it's pretty piv.
And then, like, they are looking down and they're like, let's see, clay pot. Was this made in a clay pot? And they're like, yeah. But chill.
Is that part of
his
weakness?
No, it's just like, was this made in a clay pot? And she just says, you guys get weirdly excited when you're hungry. So they're just freaking out over like every little detail that has to do with the food.
Yeah. Don't you guys do that? Oh my god, this bag of chips is like made of some type of plastic.
Ooh. Save it. You might need it in the future. If we end up in a Fallout-like universe, you'll need that to make doors somehow.
Never played Fallout.
Aww. Somewhere out there, there's one person that got my reference, and they mildly chuckled. They're like, that was amusing. It was cute.
They haven't eaten in 8 hours, to be fair. Yeah, well, that's still kind of freaky to get obsessed over the pots.
Yeah, I didn't quite get the pots thing. I actually thought it was supposed to be... It's not Tetsu Tetsu, it's the other one.
Kirishima.
I thought maybe that was his weakness, because I haven't read that.
Alright. I'm going to have to get the water ready for this.
Oh, you're stone cold again.
Yeah. So Minena says, to be honest, if it was later for me... God damn it, it's not good. Hang on.
You do it, Nick. I believe in you.
Alright.
Do you need me to play the music? Like... says,
they're all in the hot springs, and he says, "Well, I'm after a try on the other side of this here wall," and he presses the ear up against it, and Ida is so he said, "They're really there. I guess they don't have girls and boys bathe at different times nowadays. An accident. Yeah, Vince, we might just have a little accident here." And Ida says, you stop that one right now. You should be more... stop being so shameless. You're going to shame not just yourself, but your female classmates as well. And Ida says, we're here to overcome those walls plus Ultra. And he starts using his globs on his head in order to start scaling the wall. And he's like, I'll live for moments like this. It'll all be worth it for this. And he gets near the top, and Coda's there, and he just shuts him down. And immediately falls while Mina is screaming at him for being a brat. As Coda apparently has been on sentry duty this whole time, because he knew that this was going to happen, as we learn later. And Ashido, from the other side of the wall, says, thanks! And we get half a page of just the girls naked in the springs, with very, very careful cover in the nipple shots. The horns on Coda's hat are covering Ashido's nipples, basically. And she's like, yeah, good job! And he's like, I am also a pubescent boy, and he falls down to the other side on the boy's side, and Deku does his, full cloak power in order to catch him.
Also, Ida, unfortunately, has a face full of Mineta butt.
I love that detail.
Yep.
And so...
I'd love it if Ida from now on's like, I can never be married, I've been soiled.
He does seem like the type of guy who would do that, honestly. He's so serious about everything. Deku takes Coda immediately inside to be looked after. Doesn't even bother to put his fucking pants on. Very confident. Very confident in that towel staying up there, Deku. And so he takes him inside, and Coda gets put on the couch to rest, and he asks Coda's aunt about what Coda said earlier about heroes. He's like, he doesn't really seem to like heroes at all, but I've always been surrounded by people who want to be heroes, so is it unusual for a kid his age to be like that? And Zan says, well, actually, you know, there are a bunch of people who don't really think much of heroes, but he'd probably look up to them too if he had been raised normally. But unfortunately, they were heroes his parents were heroes who died in the line of duty. They were protecting civilians from a villain, and they died in battle, basically.
An honorable death, as she notes it.
But, you know, he was a little kid. He didn't really understand it. His parents were his entire world. To him, it was like they'd left him all alone, but society just kept praising them, saying what they did was great and noble.
This is reminding me incredibly of the like early arc of Naruto, where there's that kid who hates ninjas and his dad died. Yeah, I remember that.
I don't remember that kid's name. It was like Tsunami.
Me neither.
Tsunami was the girl.
Or something. Yeah, right? I don't know. Raizo was his dad's name, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that, but.
And yeah, and they go on to continue saying like, Goto doesn't actually even like us, you know, his family now, but
Inari, that's what it was.
But to him, heroes are people, are nasty people who he can't understand. So, I mean, Deku is just, you know, kind of left that thought, and he's also, you know, thinking about what Sumura said to him. And how he's like, oh yeah, you know, that's like just like All Might, you know, smiling as if to say there's no one he can't save. And so Deku just thinks to himself, and this is kind of sound dismissive of me to say, but different people have different values, I guess. And I don't really have anything to say in response to them whenever I hear them. So I do appreciate a little bit of world building sayings like, hey, not everyone likes heroes in this society. No, that's a new detail here that aside from the villains we met, basically. Next day, it's time for training and stuff, and Aizawa tosses Bakugo the ball from their test a long time ago when they first got him into the academy. They ran through all those different tests, and Deku basically came last in the class after being threatened with expulsion if you were last, but it was like, no, just kidding, bleh.
Now you spoiled it for me, Nick.
Yeah.
You're like, I didn't know if he got expelled or not, even though I read this chapter where he's still part of the class.
And so Aizawa says, I know that you threw this really far the last time, because he used his explosive power so he could do that. And so he mentions his score was like 704 meters. And so they're like, oh, he's gotten so much better, I'll bet that he can throw it even further. So Bakugo throws it up, and it eventually comes to 709 meters. And so everyone's like, that's not very much more than before. And Aizawa explains, you guys have been through a lot the last 3 months. You've definitely grown. But it's only your techniques and minds that have matured, and your bodies for a little bit. But your quirks haven't kept up with the pace. And so starting today, you're going to be trained to improve on your quirks. And he says that this is going to be so harsh, you're going to want to die. So try to stay alive.
This is a very exciting chapter. I just like the notion at the end here where it's like, yeah, you've grown, you've learned new strategies, you have become more creative, you've gotten stronger, physically more able, you've kind of adjusted to the rigors of being a superhero, but your quirks haven't evolved, and that's what this time is going to do it. And I like the notion, it's like, oh, their quirks themselves might actually improve or upgrade. And it's a very enticing notion for this sort of series. Like
that's really what superpowers are called, quirks.
Okay, yeah, call them quirks.
We'll go with that. Okay.
I get the feeling that Deku's quirk has probably improved the most because he actually knows how to control it now.
But just the idea of maybe being like there'll be different mechanics to the way some of their powers will work or different applications to it or something like that just seems like a really interesting way to go about this. Like, we're obviously in some fashion of a training arc, but I guess it's just interesting for me to think, like, oh, it's like a group of superheroes who are all going to evolve their powers in some manner. It seems like it could be a very interesting notion. And I just really like the bit there with the kid, and, you know, he lost his parents. Everyone in the world praises them because they died in the line of fire, but he can't accept that. He doesn't, you know, he's still, but the mentality of a kid doesn't work with that, and then you know, Deku kind of digesting that is the same time as he thinks back to smiling wide as if there's no one he can't save, thinking back to the words about All Might and, you know, a superhero could save everybody, and making this as one instance where clearly that didn't happen. So I thought this was a very, very good chapter, at least in terms of giving us a little bit of the world that we hadn't seen before and creating some kind of some intrigue in some of the philosophy of it, and then ending it in a way that's like, oh, hey, and our series power system might take a bit of an upgrade as we go along, too. So I was very excited for this one.
I get it. It's like that Disney movie Sky High. I get it now. Okay.
It really is, honestly. It's honestly like the first thing I thought of when I heard about the series, seriously.
It doesn't seem... It's only 70 chapters in. I could probably get caught up pretty quickly. So.
No, it's definitely worth it.
An anime's coming out, too.
It looks like it is.
If you're an anime guy at all, Studio Bones is doing the anime version of it soon, so that might be another way to...
Studio Madhouse is. Oh, damn. Yeah. Okay.
There's a teaser out. If you get the chance, check it out. It's pretty good.
Yeah, I'll go check that out. But if Studio Madhouse is doing it, it's pretty good. It's going to be pretty good.
Should we talk a little bit about Nisekoi, I guess?
I have nothing to say about Nisekoi.
Okay.
Do you want to talk about One Piece instead?
Yeah, you want to talk about One Piece? Okay. Yeah.
Let's talk about
this arc of One Piece so far. To recap, the crew has been separated, the Straw Hats have been separated into the group with Luffy and the group with Sanji. Sanji, Nami, and Chopper, and Brook, and Momonosuke. I forget right. Which one it is now. That's like Monosuke. Three different...
I think it's...
Kinamori Momonosuke. No.
It's like, it means peach, but I'm like, Momonosuke, yeah. Nosuke.
They're with Nosuke Caesar Clown.
Is kind of like a, yeah.
They're with Caesar Clown. They got separated because they were being chased away.
Something happened with Sanji.
Right.
Yeah.
Something happened with Sanji when they got to this place. We still don't know what. All the Straw Hats have been caught up, but we don't know what happened.
He went somewhere of his own accord because he left a letter, apparently, and nobody else is really concerned. Like Luffy's just like, after he finds out, he's just like, oh, whatever, he's cool, he knows how to deal with himself. So wherever he went to, he did on his own accord, so we'll probably find that out later. We're probably going to focus on what happened in Zo first, and then at the end of this arc, we'll find out what's up with Sanji, probably.
Yeah. Sort of change your thought here real quick, though. Have you guys seen the promo image that Oda released? It's the Straw Hats preparing to see Star Wars.
No.
And all of them are dressed as Star Wars characters. Let me see if I can find an image.
Oh, my God. That sounds like the most epic thing I've ever seen.
While we're waiting on that, I'll go ahead and show you guys my mug.
Oh, my God.
How does Nick have more...
thing I've ever seen, ever.
How does Nick have more fucking... more things than I do?
I have a law hat, but it's downstairs.
More One Piece stuff. I just posted an image of it in the chat. You can check it out and click it there.
All right.
But there's some cool designs there. The first thought I had, I was like, oh, both Nami and Robin or Leia, just two different versions. And I was like, that seems lazy. And I was like, wait, there's not a single other female character in Star Wars of any notoriety if you go by the first three movies.
Oh, wait a minute now.
Well, no,
there's Mon Mothma.
Oh, wait. Fuck, Chris, you just blew my mind. What?
Yeah, like I sat there, I was like, there isn't another prominent female character in those three movies.
I'm disappointed that Chopper... I'm disappointed that Chopper is Yoda instead of R2-D2.
Maybe Jabba the Hutt is actually female.
That seems weird. He'd dress her as a slave if it was... I mean, it could be a lesbian relationship. It really seems like male patriarchy.
Do you have a problem with that kind of relationship, Chris?
The white slave yes.
Master, yes.
A little bit.
Nah, you guys are just too... You're, this is the new world, okay? So slug, person, and human, that's coming up on the be voted for 2016, all right? You need to open your mind.
That is true. I have been prudish for too long.
Yeah, and also stop calling them sand people. All right, that's offensive.
I'm imagining like the Vader Luke conversation from Empire with Usopp as Vader and Luffy as Luke.
I see. I've had trouble deciphering because many of them are obvious. I've had trouble deciphering who Luffy and Zoro are supposed to be. I think Zoro is supposed to be the Emperor, and Luffy's Obi-Wan. Because I don't know.
There's no Luke then.
Yeah, but Luke never wore robes in the series, so maybe they're just supposed to be.
He wore them in Return of the Jedi.
He wore black, though. Wait. Well, he wore, like, a black, like, leather thing. It wasn't, like, the traditional robes like Obi-Wan wears. I mean, maybe. I have not seen the original Star Wars movies in probably, like, 7 years now.
But, yeah, it's been a while.
For I don't too. Recall Luke wearing,
I just realized
like,
that... I just realized Chop was supposed to be Yoda because of his hat.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that it has giant ears on it.
I'm almost accepting what Ginger Strahd's saying, that Luffy is supposed to be like a general Jedi and Zoro's maybe like a general Sith, like not anyone specific, but just like the interpretations
yeah.
of them.
I can't get over the fact you know Luke, though. I mean, that's kind of like, eh, really?
It does seem strange, but I don't know.
It's also strange they put Usopp as the Darth Vader. You think that would work more for like Zoro or somebody? I don't know.
Well, because, yeah, because Darth Vader is samurai inspired. So.
Well, wasn't Usopp back when they did the Dragon Ball Z crossover, wasn't he the one that teamed with the villains as well? Well, not like the villain. I mean, like Buggy was the one there, but it wasn't like with Vegeta and whoever the other villain was. I think Usopp was in there. Like that was like the buddy people they partnered up.
Yeah, I haven't seen the crossovers too much, but yeah, that might have been it. Are you guys going to go see the movie? I'm seeing it tomorrow at like a pre-showing at like 8 o'clock.
AM or PM?
PM.
Okay, I was going to be like, oof, that would be brutal, like waking up first thing in the morning.
No.
I was going to see Star Wars.
I wasn't going to see Star Wars opening night or like opening weekend. I was like, I'm going to see it the week afterwards, wait for things to kind of die down, calm down. And within the past week, three different people have asked me to see showings on the opening night, the day after opening night, and the weekend. And I've had
I don't know how well you can see it because my camera's shit, but this is a shirt I bought just for that. It's Link holding the new lightsaber.
Kylo Ren lightsaber.
Yeah. So I'm pumped.
You'll see it before any of us. So
yeah, there was a showing before that at 7 that most of my friends are going to, but I didn't get in on that, so I had to go to the 8 o'clock one. But whatever.
All I ask is that you don't text me spoilers immediately. Like you come out of the theater and you're immediately like texting me, like, "Hey, Chris, everyone dies."
I know I just met you
there's
like
no
yesterday,
credits.
But check all this shit out.
That's you know like the second step to forming you know a bond of friendship, right? Is to spoil something that they're looking forward to.
Okay, Chris, what are you looking forward to? I could spoil how Bleach ends because I deciphered that shit a long time ago.
cracked the code.
I think the only thing you could spoil in Bleach that would destroy my amusement of it is you gave me like an answer to why ghosts can get sick and need food.
I can explain the food thing.
Why do they need food?
When you go to the Soul Society, not everybody needs food, but if you have any kind of spiritual energy, you need to eat to regain stamina. So that's like a good. A gauge on like if you're going to be a Soul Reaper or something is if you can get hunger and then you have to eat. But even if you can't eat, even if you don't have to eat, you still can and you still feel hungry and thirsty, which sounds like a horrible freaking afterlife when you really think about it. But yeah, you can still eat even if you just don't have any spirit energy. But that's the reason you have to eat. I don't know the sick thing. I don't
you
get
that.
You
ruined it for me forever.
I'm sorry, Chris.
No, you're going to be miserable.
I have a freaking encyclopedic knowledge of Bleach. I'm so sorry.
No, you're going to be miserable when we talk about Bleach too.
Woo!
This is my curse. This is my curse. I just know it. Give me any event that occurred in this past arc. I can give you the fucking chapter number and like the page that it happens on.
Well, you could be better than individual videos on every single one.
Yes, I know. It's a curse. I'm going to have this the rest of my life. I'll be on my deathbed at age 82, and the last thing I'll think of is like. Yeah, that time Unohana died
and never
like
came
this.
Back.
And never came back.
That's when you pass and like it's your spirit leaving your body and you get up and Unohana is the one leading you into heaven. She's like, "I'm back." And you're like, "Oh." She walks
you're like,
into
"Are we
heaven.
Going to the are we going to the Soul Society cuz I kind of want to stay away from that place. I'll just wake up naked in a field in the middle of Rukon District 72 and it'd be like in this dusty field. Be like, "Hey, welcome to heaven." I'm like, okay.
She's like, "No, don't worry. You're not going there. There's actually nothing. This was a cruel irony your brain played on you in your last moments. Prepare for non-existent." And then it's just you're like, "Oh!"
Dude, like, "Ah, damn it, I'm an atheist anyway, but you still got me, Unohana. Damn it. Alright. Take
like,
on the void."
"I tricked you. You're just going to purgatory for a while. Purgatory."
Purgatory's horrible. You have to, like, climb up a mountain, and you have to get, like, people to pray for you in order to get to
heaven.
Yeah,
people
it's
need
to
do rosaries. To it's
God, it's horrible. Yeah, it's you still get punished in purgatory. Limbo is the better place.
You know you're going to feel like a real shit.
Is like in Bleach. Because we've seen their interpretation of heaven, and we've seen their... Hell's been in the movie.
Can I give a shameless plug here?
Go ahead.
I did a video on Bleach and Buddhism, because that's basically what Kubo's... Mm. Because there's like six realms of Buddhism, and there's like a living realm, and a beast realm, and a hell, and a hungry ghost realm, which is Waco Mundo. And that's kind of what Kubo was going for there. And, yeah, the place that Soul Society's based off of is the, like, Deva realm or something, where there's ghosts, and they can live for hundreds of years, but they eventually die, and they can recycle. Like, none of these realms are eternal, like heaven. It just goes on forever unless you get to Nirvana. You'll die eventually and then end up in another one of the realms, and that's what the Soul Society is supposed to be.
So. I just noticed Nick's wearing, like, a dorky Samurai Jack shirt.
It's coming back in 2016! It's coming back in 2016! It's coming...
It's a Shingeki no Aku. I got it at a con a couple months ago.
It's like a double nerd shirt?
Yeah, it's because it's an Attack on Titan reference, but it's a coup. And Nick, the reason why I got it is because it's got a coup in the background. And then all the way down here, you can see Jack facing off against
Nick, you're making it very hard for me to pick up chicks through this podcast.
Why are you using this podcast to pick up chicks?
I've been trying to slowly work it.
Actually,
in,
I shouldn't say that because I got my girlfriend from doing videos.
You already got me in here, and that ruins your chances already, because I'm like a 22-year-old that looks like a 15-year-old that talks about Bleach all the goddamn time. So,
yeah, so the chicks are just going to go for you first, so I have to kind of, like, wait for your leftovers then, so...
Between Matt and me, that means that we'll, like, be balanced out, and so that means the average age of the podcast people actually guess it properly.
Chicks dig Captain America. Have you seen Chris Evans in those trailers? His shirt is, like, ready to explode off at any moment.
In the Avengers 2, it looked like it was, yeah.
Yeah, it was like they were like, all right, we're gonna put this latex condom around you as a shirt. It's like going to conform to every contour of your body.
It was like supposed to be like an advertisement for Under Armour, but I'm like, I'm not even paying attention to the brand, man.
Like, couldn't they get him the right size shirt? Like, that was the, they tried to. No one makes a shirt for muscles that big. Anyway, One Piece...
I think the One Piece conversation's over.
Yeah, we kind of moved on from that, talking about, what was the last conversation about?
It was like to Star Wars and to Star Wars.
Okay, so they're on an island of full of animal people.
They're on a giant elephant.
A giant elephant island full of animal people and...
furries, what, but whatever.
They're basically furries. And we've been learning about
powers.
We're learning now more about the situation on the island as Sanji and the others came into it. I guess, what have you thought about it so far? Honestly, I'm kind of waiting for something really big to happen. We were introduced to Jack recently, the giant mammoth, and his fight with their leaders. But
who
this
has
is really
a
cool
billion bounty, which that's a big deal.
That's
you
a big
no
number.
How much of a, you know, that's a big damn number. Yeah, that's 10 digits. That's some girth right there. everyone was flipping their shit over the the billion thing. Everybody was. But yeah, they just finished. They didn't finish it up. They're still going to finish it where they go in the flashback and you see what actually happened with Zoe in the battle there. Between Jack and we kind of already have that end spoiled because we know that Jack was he eventually left Zoe to go try to free Doflamingo and then may possibly have gotten killed. I don't know if like the people of Zoe like defeated him outright and then kicked him out, or he decided like halfway through, oh, I'm gonna go try to save Doflamingo, how that's why he left.
Well,
but he's probably still
alive. They did resort to using one of Caesar Clown's weapons, so
that's right. Yeah, but with because no, but that's weird, though, because when they entered the city, didn't Frankie say, like, oh, I don't sense any, like, gas or any explosions. I don't know what happened here. That's weird. I don't know what weapon they used. Because it wasn't Shirokuni, because the whole place would have been covered in the gas shit. Where is Caesar right now?
We don't know.
I presume maybe
we don't know.
Sanji? I don't know.
Maybe with Sanji. There's a lot of stuff we still don't know about the situation.
Or maybe he's with Mononosuke. Maybe he's just like, I'm going to hang out here with the kid.
Yeah, he's not there.
They hate warriors from Wano and clown scientists who kill people.
And a ninja, apparently. They're samurai. Let's just throw a ninja in there somewhere.
A monkey ninja.
A monkey ninja, God.
I can't wait to hear the really lines.
Yeah.
My voice form, like, oh, hero, Nick. No. It's me, ancient samurai monkey.
You did the same thing, Gekko.
It went to a banana.
God damn it.
Someone posted in the comments, hey, Naruto's over now. Oda can finally use ninjas. Yeah, he might have been wanting to for a while there, but...
All right,
until that blockade on pirates finally ends.
I guess, we don't really know enough about it yet to really have enough.
I want to know, one good question is, because they can all use that, like, electrical power somehow.
Yeah, there is some electrical.
Yeah, because when the dog guy was fighting against Jack last chapter, like, he had a sword on the ground, he went to pick it up, and then it, like, you know, like, electricity goes through it. So it's something, like, they can do, maybe similar to, like, hockey, but they can, like, a subdivision of that, I don't know.
But, I'm telling you, it's really fucking my fucking One Piece form.
They're like, God damn, we have to figure all this shit out. Like,
I can't allow new characters to have electric powers off the bat, guys. You're going to break all my power system rule here.
It's going to be unbalanced.
I don't know. Hey, it's just like after the time skip ended, and they had to make sure, like, because you have the Straw Hats that have all trained, but you can't have their fights end really easy. So you have to have the Fishman Island arc where it's underwater, so they're all encumbered. Or, like, they did the body swap thing at Punk Hazard so they couldn't use their power. Like, they have to kind of juggle with it to make sure that they're not just too easily defeated up until Dressrosa, which is, like, the first major fights they've had in the arc. But, yeah. I'm fine with it. I'm a One Piece fanboy, so, yeah.
All right. I think we'll move on to Toriko, then.
Woo, Toriko. All
right. Gourmet 351 fulfilled. They finished another.
Okay, so moving on to Nisekoi.
That is basically what happened.
Nick, you're cutting out Asardi's big backstory.
Who the fuck is Asardi?
I finally realized that, like, I'm reading this chapter. I'm like, wait, was Asarudi supposed to be a main character? Because I totally didn't even know what the fuck was going on with him.
I mean, I know who he is, and the flashback's good, but it's like, I do not know. If you put all five of them up against one another, I would not know which one's Asarudi. And I thought Asarudi was the one that you fucking Yuta killed, who is still alive now. But
That was Condor Window.
Yeah, Condor Window was the one. But I was just like, who is Asarudi? Has Asarudi done things before now?
Maybe if we had actually seen the full showdown between those 10 chefs, that we would know a little bit more and have more context on this and be more affected by the guy
making an ultimate sacrifice. No, because Mitsutoshi decided to jump around like a spastic in this arc with, you know, where, like, okay, we're going to take a break from Area 6 and take, like, 7 chapters to see what's going on with Toriko and Neo, and then we're going to go back to Area 6. But now we're in the future, so we have to go to the past, so we'll do a flashback. Yeah, it's
just... Apparently, Asarudi
was been annoying for months. Like, ridiculous.
Yeah, but I think we're finally back on track now, hopefully.
So, they finished another... And a bunch of another spawn out of it, basically. Like, you know, the ghostly another's instead of the actual meat another. And one of them goes through Asarudi, who is important, I guess. And he sees an image of a woman reaching out to him. And basically, he starts to remember important things. Everyone gets affected by them, essentially, as they're passing through the air. And, in fact, there's so much... So many another flowing out, so much flavor is overflowing that the gate to, between the spirit world and the real world bursts open. And everyone's spirits flood out in the end, so Rin and Jiro outside have to make sure everyone gets put back in their bodies and stuff.
You mean Gigi, not Jiro.
Yes. God. So, Chin-Chin-Chin... later on, thank you, appears over Chiyo. He's been watching over her, I guess, as she slept, and Chiyo mentions that while they were in the spirit world, she saw their son, Chiyu, and she's like, he was the smallest, most tiny little soul, and I'd always regretted not being able to make meals for him while he was alive, but Chiyu used all the strength he had to light the way for me, and he said, I was satisfied, I was always satisfied, I was always...
Oh, the cooking was pretty good, but maybe you could put some honey mustard on it? What's going on over here?
Anyway, he said, I was always eating up your love, so I never once felt hungry. And he thanks her for letting him experience the flavor of love.
But yeah, Ma, I mean, the love's great, but maybe some fixins over here? What's going on?
I mean, it was a touching moment, and they've mentioned this, like, sporadically throughout the series, this whole thing with her son. And I wasn't like, okay, wow, I finally got the end of this plot thread, but it was finally nice to get something on it, I guess. They led to it enough.
As opposed to a Sardi where you're like, oh, something important to it.
Yeah.
Hey, who the fuck is a Sardi? Like,
I say Asa Rudy because it sounds cooler.
It's spelled a Sardi in the...
No, it's spelled how I say it's spelled, Nick.
Oh!
Now, I get that shit all the time. It's like, you pronounce it Gerald Valkyrie. I pronounce it Harold Valkyrie. It's Gerald Valkyrie. Like, I don't even care anymore.
That's why I do Gerard.
I'm just Gerard or something.
Gerard sounds snooty, but it's not Gerald.
Whenever I say Volt Standig, I always get that wrong. Like, I don't know German. I don't care anymore.
Well, it's not like Kubo knows German either.
It's not like Kubo knows Spanish.
Yeah, actually, he was there once, so I guess he has more, you know, experience than I do.
He did name his villain group after the SS.
So anyway.
Moving on.
Remembers making a promise to a woman in his life, Silk, that she should wait for him at the Church of Snow and that he would come back to her. And so... after their experiences in the spirit world, he goes to said place, where she is apparently in the spook church, and her corpse, mummified corpse, is like in prayer position, waiting for him still, after all this time. And at that moment, he like cries, you see like tears dripping out from behind his mask, and he calls out for Don Slime and says that he wants to ask him for a favor. We got a brief scene with Komatsu talking with that stupid fucking kid, Chako, and basically Komatsu explains that he met the spirit of Chako's mother and so learned how to prepare food that his mother prepared for him, and so that's why he knows how to prepare good food for Chako. Oh, good for Komatsu! It's like, well, you know, I get the actual point.
We tied up that plot thread. I was really worried about if Chako was ever going to be able to, you know.
And there's a brief explanation from Gigi that, you know, even though they're, you know, it's like Rin is asking, like, wait a minute, where's Don Slime? Maybe he was left in the spirit world. I don't see him. And Gigi's like, no, Don Slime's here. He's everywhere.
He's everywhere and nowhere.
Yeah. He's a creature that can change his form into anything, inanimate objects as well as living things, even at a cellular level. I wonder if he is somewhere nearby disguised as something else. Yes. Yes, he is. Yes. And they also talk about how, you know, there is, you know, Don Slime's main body, but in order for him to completely revive, then he will need a host possessing adequate cell energy in order for him to be perfectly revived. The entire time the project has been underway in this country, Don Slime's been looking for a host that would enable him to eat the full course meal. And so, you know, he found one in Ichiryu. But then Don Slime appears in front of them, comes out of a tree and a rock.
And a rock.
And a bunch of other things.
He's everywhere, Nick.
And a building.
Everywhere.
He's everywhere. He's like Schrodinger from Helsing.
And he says, okay, shut up about Ichiryu. Asardi has taken steps. He's going to eat Acacia's full course, and then my real body will be revived from Asardi's cells. And they're like, what? What the fuck? You gave up on Ichiryu? He's like, shut up. Asardi has the strongest cells in this country.
Asardi's a big deal.
Asardi's important.
He gets two Digimon, and he gets to kiss both Kairi and Yolene at the end of the episode.
Who's Yolene?
Chris? I don't fucking know, Nick. I hated series 2. Dorky tall girl.
Dorky. That's Yolene's legacy, being called Yolene and Dorky tall girl. At least she gets an attempt at being named, unlike Cody.
And short dude.
Short kid. Short boring kid. So, Asardi has this, like, monologue from when he made the promise with Don Slime. He's like, yes, you know, my body will be controlled by you and blah, blah, blah. I don't care if I'm not reborn again. I don't know how much longer my body will last, so use it as you like. because another awakened me to a new sense of taste and evoked me long forgotten flavors and blah blah. I want to be with my wife and Silk would be there with me, and Silk, he like sees her and she's like, our promise is our love. It can only age well, so we'll be together forever after this happens. And I'm like, yeah, good luck with that.
Later, losers.
Okay.
Okay.
Don Slime will have... Don Slime will presumably have a new body that will not be each reused, which I'm kind of okay with, I guess.
It's a bummer. I guess I was in a little small way. I was kind of excited to see each Ryu back. But I guess it's probably better for the story for him not to. Yeah, I don't know.
I think that there are goods, there are good and bad. You know.
I like the moment when he died. I mean, it seemed like appropriate to me. It didn't seem like out of nowhere, like anything like that. It actually caught me by surprise when they were talking about bringing him back. I was like, really? Okay.
Yeah. Seemed unnecessary, but it's also one of those things that Jump and Shonen series do a lot, where they'll kind of bring back characters. So
yeah.
I was kind of expecting that to be the case.
But, yeah, I mean, the chapter ends with them pretty much in the same position they were in when they, like, Komatsu called Toriko. Like, they're on the beach with the big present thing, so hopefully we'll get this moving on.
Maybe the flashback will be over now,
maybe. Maybe! I don't know, Nick.
That's when Komatsu...
We can all pray to the food gods. I don't know.
That's when Komatsu's like, Toriko, we're back! But now it's time for me to tell you about the time we turned back the pendulum. Toriko, -108. Deicide, part 38. Like, holy shit, it's both of them at once. It's the negative flashback Deicide.
Fucking Kubo. Somebody said, like, oh, the ending of Bleach, it's like the final battle with Yuha. It's going to be like Deicide 2, number 1. Deicide 2, number 3. And it's just going to keep going
on. Well,
considering
that there is a pretty strong theory right now that Aizen's going to turn into a good guy by the end of the series.
I don't know about that, but I have heard that everyone wanted him to fight against Lile because of Lile's powers. And now that he's in the Soul Society, that might actually happen now, so...
Right, because Aizen was like, who's making all that noise out there on my lawn? I'm in a chair, dude.
Hey, don't diss that chair. That chair is like the chair of the gods, all right?
I still don't, like, they made a point that he could make his way around without people carrying the chair, and yet he didn't go with them through the gates.
There's wheels on the chair. I don't know if you knew that.
Well, they also made a note.
They freed
that,
one ankle
right,
and his eye, right?
They freed up part of him so he can see so that he can use his chakra basically freely now.
Chakra? Really?
I'm sorry. His
really,
spirit
Nick?
Energy.
Really, Nick?
His
You're like slapped. His try-on. Fine.
His okay. Power level.
Power level,
he can
yeah.
use his key.
He has one free foot. So the joke that I've been making is that he gets around by like just scraping the entire chair along with one ankle.
Yeah, his ankle, his eye, and his mouth is supposedly unlocked. But, yeah.
Because he didn't want people to carry him out of there, so he's just like, nope, kill all of you. And it's like, and Shinsu's like, well, okay, I guess you're just going to sit there and be bored anyway. It's going to take you out of here.
We freed you just so we can open up the gate to the Soul Palace in front of you, that place that you've always wanted to go, and then not take you.
I will stay here, where there is so much going on, and I have a perfect view of the outside in this room that does not have shadows.
Yep. I will guard the Soul Society now, even though everything's pretty much gone.
What's all that noise up there?
Yeah, in case flamingos descend from the sky and try to kill us, I'll be good.
Oh, what's that I hear out there? I hear, someone, anyone, save me. Even if Aizen were to come, I would be okay with him saving me. Please, oh God, why? Now I'll just sit here.
Yeah.
Anyway.
He's going to do something at some... He'll do something at some point. When Kubo gets around to it. Kubo just brought him back. He's like, okay, guys, he's back. There you go. Now I'll just ignore him for 100 chapters. We'll get back to it, trust me.
It's like he's a guy in the white suit from that Simpsons episode where he's like, Marge, but the little guy hasn't done anything yet. And you know, when he does, it's going to be super cool. All
right.
I don't even know what he's doing now. If Kubo's coming or going with that. I don't know.
Let's
after the
figure, I think.
Yeah, let's go.
I'm sorry, no. We can talk about more about Bleach, but
oh, World Tire! Shut up, talk about World Tire.
But yeah, We got...
Okay. Did you just turn into an angry Nazi just now? Because all I heard...
Trigger! Well, Trigger! What's with Hyven? Why are we talking about the word Trigger? It's right there!
There's Yiddish in there, too.
I don't know if you...
Everything!
I don't know if you saw this, but there was a guy at a Donald Trump rally that was, like, yelling, Sieg Heil.
Oh, no. It's the button on the nose, isn't it?
I feel bad, because I wish we could just insert Annalisa back into this episode, just so we could have her on to talk about World Trigger, because I feel bad that we didn't have her on an episode where there was World Trigger.
Yeah.
It feels like you put the peanut butter on the sandwich, you have the other piece of bread, and you're like, fuck, we don't have jelly. Well, I'll just eat a peanut butter sandwich and be sad, I guess. It's kind of what it felt like. Hmm. Always with the thought-provoking analogies, it's what I do. Nick's like, that's the seventh peanut butter and jelly.
Peanut butter? I don't know.
Who is this guy, anyway? Go ahead.
I'm looking something up.
Is this World Trigger? I don't.
Yes.
I don't even know what this is.
Are you referring to Shinoda?
I.
Amo? Don't. Izumi. I'm just naming male characters who are appearing in this chapter.
The one with the hat.
Oh, not Yatsuro. The kid. Fuck, what is his name?
Death the Kid is in World Trigger?
Not that kid.
Awesome.
The baseball cap guy.
Oh, Arafune.
Sniper. Arafune, right?
Yeah. Come on, Nick.
I know. You're better with World Trigger names than I am.
How? They're all Japanese. One Piece, it makes sense. They're fucking nonsense words. Buggies. Doflamingo. Makes sense. This is actually based on logic. Language.
Okay.
Is World Trigger like your like Bleach's to me, Chris?
It's becoming it. It really has. I used to just be a shameless, unadulterated One Piece fanboy, but World Trigger is quickly becoming that same level for me.
Like,
I'm like that with One Punch Man right now.
Infamous Planet, who does some extra stuff for us, did this compilation of all the times we talked about World Trigger in like the first 20 chapters when we hated the fuck out of it, and now it's fairly regularly our favorite series of each week. Like, we always have these, we're always super into the story and the characters and stuff, and that hence where Chris does all of his World Trigger fanfics and so on. But yeah, we used to hate it. Absolutely and unequivocally. Things change, you know? Anyway, so last time, it seems though Galapala was going to finally move on into their infiltration mission into Border, which kicks off in this chapter. And interestingly enough, that B rank war that Osamu's team, Tamakomatu, sorry, is involved in, is actually going on at the same time. And they make a note that, okay, so we're going to have these planned matches. You know, the top group is going to have Kagayura and Yuba and Asuma squads. And then Tamakomatsu and Katori and Kagizaki squads are going to be in the middle group. But so if this goes as planned, those six groups aren't going to be in defense duty.
It is somewhat strange. I guess they've just come to the notion of like, yeah, I know this invasion's coming, but it's not that big of a deal. Like, we don't have to cancel our match tonight, right?
Well, they were also being secret about it.
Yeah, I guess from the notion of like, look, we don't want the public to know about it, and thus we don't maybe want to create too much of a panic within our own organization, because we notice all the squads that are out there now are A rank or B rank. You know, the notion being that C rank agents are still watching this training as well. These matches take place, so maybe they don't want them to be on alert or worried something's happening and kind of spread panic that way. It is just weird to me that they're just like, yeah, we'll just carry on with those matches, especially when Kagayura is probably still the second ranked squad, and they're in a match, and they're like, yeah, we'll just, you know, shit happens. Yeah.
But they're also like, you know, hey, you know, Jin's foresight has said it's unlikely they're going to come after the agents, so if that happens, then we'll suspend the rank wars, and the squad will be in battle, and Asuma will be their leader, so, you know, we've got a backup plan, but we're going to hold off on actually suspending the rank wars. Presumably, I guess, mostly to avoid causing a panic and avoid people going like, why is the rank war not happening?
And organize, it's not even just that. Because Izumi's one of the people doing commentary. So your best shooter is also not going to be getting involved in this war.
Mm-hmm. Then we cut into where Husei is.
I just want to see like how many more high members of the Border can be involved in this match and not be like Tachikawa's like doing like handing out popcorn. Like, all
Arashiyama's, Arashiyama's squad are just there to look nice.
All of Kako's squad are doing, like, the ring girl, like, you know, like, round two. They're like, it's only one round. What are you doing? Why did you take them off of defense duty?
They're all just holding up one sign together, walking around in a line. So we get Yusei looking at his hidden, his snuck-in map, basically. He's like, oh, let's see here. Oh, there's a bunch of Idris here, so I guess Rodokron, their soldier army is involved in here. And in a brief flashback, we get the explanation that Yotaro has been left to watch over Yusei while everyone else is leaving to take care of their duties. And Yotaro's like, yeah, I'll take care of everything. And he's, you know, jumping around like a stupid little kid. And Konami's like, you know, if you waste your energy, you're just going to fall asleep early. And he's like, no way! Cut to the present, he's falling asleep on top of his
house. Literally next panel, he's asleep.
So, Yusei, you know, goes snooping around with no one to watch him. He's trying to find his trigger, and he's thinking to himself, I should have used my bet in order to take it back. Oh, well. I'll have to get this, and I'll get a reserve trigger when I get back to my homeworld, and so on and so forth. And he's going to try and meet with the people from Galapola. And so he heads out the door, and as he leaves, he looks up at the one-lit window where Yotaro is sleeping, and he thinks, thanks for everything, big guy. He's like, oh, they bonded!
He likes him!
He likes him! He likes one of his captors! Not sure if I should be happy about
Trump
this.
Thing kicking
yeah, he's Stockholm Syndrome.
Hey, they were all cool to him.
They were. They were really
it's like
nice
they keep
to
him
watch.
In shackles. They're like, hey, hang around here. Watch TV with us.
Well, here, have a free hoodie.
Yeah, make bets with a child and take his food when you win.
This sounds awesome, man. I want to get kidnapped by these guys.
Awesome, man. So we cut to outside where all of you know, the border group are in position. They see Trion soldiers coming
in. How many of these
in.
Characters do you recognize, Nick?
I recognize a bunch of them. Oh. Name, not very many.
I can't do many names, but I do recognize just about all. Actually, I think I recognize all of them.
Go through their names if you can.
I can't do their names. I know Satori's on names? There. Renji's. I'm just on the first panel with Satori, Renji. Oh, I'm trying to remember her name. It's... Oh, she's part of Natsu Squad. I can't remember. Like, Natsume? Natsumi, fucking, it's something along those lines. And the other two guys are part of, and I can't remember the captain's name, Akane, but they're part of the I Hate Neighbors dudes team.
Right.
And then the other side's Toma, Arafune, Taichi, and then the other two guys of Arafune squad, I don't think, right. They might have names, but I don't know.
They do.
Sorry, it's Reiji, not Renji, I'm sorry.
Well, they were part of one of Tamakamatu's wars, so I imagine that they were named.
They had names, but they shouldn't have.
They're not important.
Yeah, they're it's bodies.
It's Arafune squad, whatever. So, these bizarre new type of Trion soldiers appear. They're humanoid, and so the snipers start taking shots at them, but the soldiers basically group up together and combine their Trion into shields, so that they basically are able to deflect all the sniper shots. And so after a little bit of surprise, they're just like, ah, let's just concentrate fire, and they slowly start wearing the soldiers down.
It actually took me a really long time to realize that one guy was Reiji, because it's the first time we've ever seen him in anything that's not like a Chris Evans bicep shirt that's just like barely being held together. Like, he's wearing a cloak. I was like, I feel like I know this guy, but I don't know who it is. And then he takes off his shirt and starts punching things at one point. You're like, oh, I see, that's Reiji. It's Beefcake. Quiet Beefcake.
Hey. Then the Galapola group finally moves in to help support the Trion soldiers. They basically have, like, fireworks, in a way. They're mortars, I guess you could say, that shoot up into the air.
I think they're mortars, yeah.
They shoot up into the air and scatter stuff down on top of the border group, and then suddenly gates pop out, and these dog-like Trion soldiers start to attack the sniper team from up close. And so, yeah, the Reiji and Arafune start meeting them, you know, in close combat, and people are like, oh yeah, they're good in close combat too, because they're more all-rounders and stuff. And then we have a moment that people would not stop bothering me about on Twitter. Or Arafune looks around and he says, they don't bite, do they? I don't like dogs. Because I regularly
you
remark...
You found your spirit animal, Nick!
I regularly remark on the show how I don't like dogs. I just don't. I'm a cat person. And occasionally there will be a dog barking in the background and I'll just be like, I fucking hate dogs. People are like, oh, is Arfuna your favorite character now? Well, it's a plus
he
in
is,
his
isn't
favor.
He?
It's a plus in his favor.
He gets some points for that, yeah.
He says
I feel like he'd be your favorite character, though. He's got the baseball cap, he's, like, mean and surly, just like you.
Thanks!
Just know, if he grew a mustache, he'd be you.
And glasses, I guess?
No,
now someone's going to go ahead and put all that stuff on him, and yeah.
I mean, so, there's some reason every time the cat shows up, he puts a fucking monocle and evil top hat on him.
Look at
Arifune,
the cute little kitty.
Arifune seems to say that he doesn't like dogs because they might bite. I just like dogs because they're annoying and they eat their own shit.
So. My dog does not eat her own shit.
Mine
well,
does.
I don't know. I'm not around her 24/7. I don't know.
Maybe. I don't judge what she does in her off time, though. You know, dogs gotta do what a dog's gotta do.
Not
I got pissed
dogs.
At her yesterday. She ate like a whole tray of like chocolate some stuff.
Oh, was, no.
That's yeah, no, good. She's all right, but she's all right, but she was just not being good. Anyway, and
so
I know
points,
cats
points in
do
Arifune's
that.
Favor, but not all the points, basically.
Who would be your favorite World Trigger character?
I think it's Osamu at this point.
All right, well, I already have him and Ghidorah, so you have to pick someone different.
Whatever.
I called them.
Well,
let me try this. I don't know anything about this series. Let me just pick a random ass character, and you tell me if he's like cool or not.
Okay.
I'm gonna pick actually the guy. Where was he? Let me find him. The guy. I don't know if it's a pompadour, but he has like the slick back hair. He's
oh
like,
yeah, Toma.
He's been pretty.
Toma.
He's,
okay.
He's basically been pointed to as like the best sniper.
Yeah, I think he's
okay.
Ranked number. 2, I think, as snipers, or maybe he is number 1, but his thing is he doesn't take many shots because he refuses to take a shot that won't miss. He is number 1, though. All right. He is number 1. He's number 2 practice, but number 1 practicality.
Right.
Alright, I'll go with Toma. Toma's my man now.
He
don't care
cool.
if he sucks or whatever. I'll just go with him.
He's a cool dude.
Alright.
So, now, you know, the board group have multiple different types of enemies to deal with, and they're distracted, and then all of a sudden... some of the humanoid neighbors, humanoid Triumph soldiers, rather, start going inside of Border's headquarters, just as one of the operators in Border says, wait a minute, there's a few of them that are kind of a different color.
That's Amo. That's the other Black Trigger user. Why are you looking at me like
him.
That?
I don't remember him at all.
He's the guy who, during the invasion, just destroyed part of the city. And he's
right,
like,
no, you didn't see him because...
Yeah,
right.
It's supposedly some monster thing. That's Amo. Right. And his side effect, maybe he sees things in colors, perhaps.
Okay. So he sees things differently, and he's like, what the hell are you talking about? And sure enough, yeah, some soldiers go inside the base, but oh, no, they were actually camouflaged humanoid neighbors. The actual group from Gallipoli was disguised as them, and so they... You know, kind of went in cover among their other soldiers in order to get inside.
I think the main evil dude for this organization, we need to
Scar.
Give him, we need to give him a voice.
Okay, which one is his voice?
Maybe it could be Sean Connery. Where everything's just going according to plan.
That's a terrible Sean Connery.
This should be done in 10 minutes.
I'm not going to say I have a good Sean Connery, but that's a terrible Sean Connery, which means you have to keep it. Okay.
Excellent.
So that's World Trigger.
I'm going to destroy Border and give a woman a good firm slap. Those are two things I enjoy.
Interesting opening to this battle, especially in the learning that the rank war is going to be going on simultaneously with it. So I'm looking forward to seeing where this goes. But so far it's just it's nice to see some of the other members of Border doing some cool stuff and. Also, clever plan by Gallipoli. So,
I liked it a lot. I liked this chapter. I think it was really exciting. I like seeing the different groups in action. I like seeing that the Trion armies aren't like just mindless walking things anymore. Like they actually have formulated strategies and are kind of evolving and adapting, makes them kind of more imposing. And,
yeah, I will say they look pretty unique for... I guess they're like foot soldiers or something, but they look pretty cool.
Usually their foot soldiers were more monstrous kind of big things that kind of just turned out to be basically military concepts just given consciousness, like big, essentially like bombs that would fly and blow up.
Oh, okay.
Or like walking turrets or things like that. You know, they didn't have.
But these
actual,
guys are getting actual intelligence now.
Yeah, like they actually have plans. They're actually strategizing, cooperating, and things like that. So they are a pretty cool evolution, I guess to say, of.
Yeah.
The Trion soldiers specifically are just like, you know, robots, basically.
Oh, okay.
But the humanoid neighbors are actually, you know, yeah, fully sentient beings. So.
I like this chapter a lot. I'm very excited for what's going to happen, and I'm super stoked because there is a chapter we'll trigger next week, so I don't have to be sad and quiet and miserable.
All right. Yeah. So let's wrap things up here. Okay. Matt, the way that something we started doing recently is we name our favorite series of the week and also a weekly MVP. So it's like your favorite series and also your like a character that stood out to you that's doing something cool. My series of this week, by the way, the audience series of the week is Food Wars, according to our poll. I ran away with it.
It was actually a very combative fight between it and Bleach.
For a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, Bleach, this is far and away Bleach's best showing.
I think so.
Holy crap, it did pretty good, 24%.
Partially, I think that it was kind of a weak week. Food Wars had a really strong chapter, but a lot of stuff is kind of in between stuff happening, and also, you know, One Piece is off, and all that stuff. You know, My Hero Academia, you know, some interesting stuff happened, but it wasn't a very eventful chapter. Black Clover, interesting, you know, seeing where it's going to go forward, but the main bulk of the chapter, not very big. Toriko, meh. And World Trigger is just kind of getting into stuff. And for all those reasons, you know, Food Wars was pretty easily my pick of the week, but also I really like the conclusion that was reached in it. This was, to me, a satisfactory conclusion to this Shokugeki between Aizan and Soma. So that's far and away my favorite chapter out of the series.
Okay. Mine, I don't want to go with Bleach because it's so obvious for me. I don't really think, Bleach was the favorite this week because I usually never say that, but there was no One Piece, so, and I'm not really caught up with My Hero Academy or World Triggers and or Food Wars even, so I'm going to go with Bleach, I guess. And as for my MVP, I'll go with Soma because I don't have a lot of knowledge about it, but I've only watched like the first 6 or 7 episodes and like the past 2 chapters, but I could tell that was like a big moment for his character, just the way he was like drawn and stuff when he was at the end there. And I'll go with that. He looks like a badass, yeah. I know enough about his character to know that he was pretty confident there.
Chris?
My favorite series this week, I'm going to go with My Hero Academia. I thought it was a very exciting chapter. We're kind of still building up to things, but I like teases. I like when you kind of can build up to stuff and when you can get me excited for
the
next
words
week.
Words you're using with that fan service scene.
Oh, wait.
I mean, fan service scene was funny, though. Like,
I know you're saying exciting.
Yeah, I'm like, it was titillating. It was.
Titillating.
Vagina-tastic. It was. No, I thought it was a really good chapter in terms of, like, making me excited for next week and putting that interesting bit in there, like, oh, and, you know, not everybody in the My Hero Academia universe likes heroes, and there's actually some downsides to it. People have different opinions, and All Might can't actually save everybody. And putting
I just
that
feel like an idiot now. I feel like an idiot now because you pronounce it Academia, and that makes way more sense than the way I pronounce it, which is Academia. So, yeah.
I still occasionally...
You're too used to the Japanese pronunciation.
Academia makes way more sense.
I did it all the time, and every so often I'll still go and pronounce it the wrong way.
I do.
Yeah, I do that
too. I do Academia.
Yeah,
I have a freaking How to Learn Japanese book next to me right now, but yeah, I don't know that.
I believe it is Academia. At least that's what they say in the anime preview. So that's what I've been going
with. But Academia makes more sense, though, because it means, like, it's an actual word for one thing.
I'm not like, it's not like they just fucked up Academy.
Yeah, really.
He was like, I thought it was My Hero Academia.
Just the author just didn't know how to spell it in English, so he's like, oh, wait. I splashed with some ink, so it got messed up. Whatever.
So yeah, I gave it to My Hero. I liked Food Wars, but I think for the payoff, it didn't hit me as much as I kind of wanted it to.
I can actually see that.
So I still like what Food Wars did a lot, and I actually thought this was a very good week of Jump. But I think the favorite chapter was My Hero, and I wanted to make it World Trigger, but not enough actually happens for me to like logistically.
World Trigger's back, so I can make it my series of the week.
What? I was like, Nick, they fucking banded together and used shields. The robots did. They're gaining intelligence over there. Oh, and that ain't enough.
Robot dogs now. What's up with that?
That sniper don't slash them robots in half.
How have we not used this voice for a character yet? You do it often enough on your own, anyway.
Hey, he gets points for me just for all the different accents, because every time I try something like that, I fail horribly. I mean, I'm Scottish, and I can't even do a Scottish one, all right?
Oh.
What are you doing, you daft bastards?
You can't all have a good Sean Connery at our show.
Yeah.
Shut up! We're not all smooth and suave like you, Chris,
and
okay?
All you do is put a cup in front of yourself, and now you're brain! Look how that worked out!
Oh, there should be a cup.
Now if I find a genie, and he gives me three wishes, I'm gonna wish for, well, Nick's receding hairline, of course, but also Chris's voice.
Yeah, that's your first wish. Like, I wish his hair would recede even faster.
And something like really stupid. Something really stupid, like a bottomless bottle of iced tea or something. Because genies always try to screw you over whenever you open, like I wish for $1 million. Like, okay, I'm going to give you $1 million in, like, stolen money or, like...
Your parents are dead and it was their life insurance. Yeah. It's like, no! You wish for Nick's receding hairline. It's like, yes, but someone atomically farted his face and that's why. You're like, that's great. That's even more hilarious. Thank you.
Yeah. He was in a nuclear explosion and he got, like, cancer or something.
You're like, did he get superpowers? No, just a receding hairline. You're just like, yes! MVPs!
My weekly MVP is Soma 2.
This is, this is the first then, because all around, I picked Soma as well for my MVP.
Oh, 3 for 3.
Unanimous decision.
I think we had a 2 for 2.
Three guys all praising Soma. Yeah.
We had a 2 for 2 a few weeks ago with Azon. When he was built up as a villain. But yeah, this is the first time we've had three people on the podcast and it was like, yeah, one person. So yeah.
That'll be fun when I get to him.
I mean, Soma was, I mean, everything kind of came together for him and it was like, okay, yeah, the last few chapters what you were doing paid off. So good stuff. So.
Yeah. Seems like it'll be fun when I get to him that point in the manga with Azon.
We need to when
seems
you
like
when...
fun. Seems like a really fun guy.
When you catch up, we'll have to have you on and we can talk about it. You could be like me, like trying to slowly catch up on Food Wars and figure things out. Learn names.
I don't know. It's like with manga with me, it's like I can do it all in one night sometimes. Oh, that's okay. That came out really weird. Like I did Black Clover all in once, but there's other. I'm reading Kingdom right now. I don't know if you've heard of that.
Yes. Yeah, and we did that last year for a recommendation.
Yeah.
Yeah, really long series, like 400 something chapters. I'm about halfway through it. I can't just sit down and read like 10 or 20 chapters. I can only read like 2 or 3 at a time and then like come back the next day or something because a lot of crap happens in Kingdom. Mm-hmm.
Well, you are, I think, going to be welcome back in the future because this has been.
Yay! I succeeded. Episode. I'll try to get better internet next time.
No worry. We've endured our fair share of technical difficulties in the history of this show, so don't worry about it.
You're going over to video now, so I think you're going to experience
We'll have more. We'll have more.
That's not, like, I'm not putting a curse on you guys right now or anything. Like, my Dark Lord and Savior. Anyway.
Brooks, your Dark Lord and Savior.
Yes! Yes! You didn't know this?
I think it's the...
I mean, there was a scene in the anime where he literally gets, like, summoned in the middle of a ritual where they're summoning, trying to summon Satan. I mean,
about that,
yeah. What more clues do you need? Oda is trying to tell us something here, Nick.
Maybe he's going to, like, do a performance of Won't You Guess My Name at some point.
Yeah. There needs to be... No, Brooks seriously needs to just release an entire album, and I think I would buy that. Because he's only got, like, two songs.
One Piece is really weird about the soundtracks it releases. It's not nearly as, like,
yeah.
Thorough as some of the other series out there.
They're not. They're really not.
Well, I think that is going to do it for Weekly Manga Recap. So thank you everyone who joined us on hitbox.tv/RollitZ and everyone who is watching on YouTube and everyone who is listening to recording on weeklymangarecap.podbean.com. And Techie101, thank you so much for joining us for this conversation.
Thanks, guys. Big honor to be here.
Any plugs you want to throw out there aside from your YouTube channel?
Yeah. Right now, just my channel, my two channels, where I'm my main channel where I do the Bleach stuff, and then my vlog channel where I'm starting to do live reactions for One Punch Man, which have gotten really popular for some reason. I don't know why.
People are praising the One Punch Man right now.
They are.
That's like always the way it goes. Is like us manga people are like, this thing is really awesome, and then 2.5 years later, the anime comes out, and people are like, this is really awesome. It's like.
Dude, I'm making a parody video about that right now where there's going to be like, where like every season of anime, there's like one particular one that everyone just loses their shit over. And like, you know, the manga's been out for like 3 years, right? Yeah, but now that there's an anime, I can give a shit. So that's going to be up soon. But yeah, other than that, I don't need to plug a lot. I'm just happy being here.
Awesome.
Nice to meet you, Chris.
Yeah, nice to meet you too, sir.
I've been a fan since the Transmission Awesome days.
Oh wow, that's going back a while.
That's going back. Well, I've been a fan of Nick ever since the beginning of That Guy with the Glasses. So hey, yeah, I'm not going to say you guys are like my gods, like I'm going to bow before you. But it's so weird that watching people that inspired me like 7 years ago, not to make you sound old, but 7 years ago.
No, it's completely.
And here we are now.
It's completely turned. I used to be the one on Transmission Awesome calling Paul old. Now I'm the old dude. Also, I feel like this is like a weird, like, generational adoration of me because Nick also was a big, huge fanboy of me in Transmission Awesome originally. Like, it's just like, oh, I created both of you in a way. I gave you life. And soon I will kill you both and eat your brains to give me power.
What was that last part again?
Nothing. I thought you guys were awesome. Great show, guys.
Yeah. I was caught up in the moment of it, but, you know.
Well, let me say, like, the one time, because you did the podcast only, I think the only time I actually saw you, what you looked like, was during the first anniversary special with That Guy with the Glasses.
You're like,
and then I see you now, and I'm like, I see you now, and I'm like, wow, good for him. Good for him.
You were so fat back then. It's like, you
not
ate.
Not to sound offensive, but yeah.
No, it is. I was huge.
Okay. Hey, good job.
So let's see. I already did that part. Send us emails, weeklymangarecap@yahoo.com, so that you can give us your criticism. You can ask us questions for one of our Q&A episodes in the future. You can suggest future manga for us to read. Special thanks go out to all of our Patreon supporters because your support allows us to create all sorts of bonus content for this show, to do video stuff, all sorts of fun stuff. We are going to hopefully have the December bonus pod up soon.
I'm aiming for it to come out before Christmas, but it might be like right before Christmas.
Yeah, it's like next week, the last chapter before they go on break.
I think next week's the last issue before we go on break.
Yeah. Those are always kind of awkward times for us because we're like, should we do something like this week?
Yeah. Well, my family is Russian Orthodox, so we don't celebrate Christmas until January 7th. So next week, I'm just like, I don't got nothing to do, guys.
Wow.
Yeah.
Everybody's not working or doing anything. You're like, well,
yeah. I just switched to work with my coworker because she's working on Christmas Eve. I'm like, you don't have to do that. I don't give a shit about Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
Thanks
also go out to Steve Mann, our tarot card artist. You can check out his work at a bunch of places. Rock Fanboy. Patreon.com/SteveMan. I draw boobs on Tumblr. Lots of places. He is everywhere. We love all his work, though.
And, a lot of people draw boobs on Tumblr.
Lots of people do. And also special thanks to Felix
he
Dark.
He draws boobs.
Special thanks to Felix Dark and especially Infamous Planet. I didn't use the this time. You're probably going to have an image response anyway because we don't like each other very much, it seems. But thank you guys for doing the visual editions of our show and also Infamous Planet for our stream layout and stuff. That's really cool.
I feel bad thanking him for that as I just mocked and mimicked Felatio the entire time.
Yeah. Saw that.
Oh, I do have one. I like the Syndrome one. That's a good one.
Yeah, the Syndrome one's pretty cool.
All right. And I think that's it for all of our usual sign-off stuff. Hopefully we'll have Greenblood ready.
Yes. Also, though, because we do it, I want to give special thanks to Still Just Cow and Winter's King, our newest patrons. It is greatly appreciated. And also, there was some confusion with some people because our Patreon total changed.
It does that.
Well, no, this is something that Patreon did recently. They readjusted the number that's displayed when you go to a patron's page to reflect the actual total they get given, because before it was just whatever what was pledged and didn't account for like the cut that Patreon takes and then taxes and things like that. Yeah. So the number changed, and people were kind of concerned.
Patreon is great, but it does some weird stuff sometimes. Like, their messaging system is garbage, for one, but...
It was a strange decision on their part. It's fine, but people were kind of curious because that took the total down to, like, below where the movie commentary, like, milestone was, and they were like, are you still going to be doing it, things like that. We're still doing that. Nothing's really going to change on that end. You know, I'm thinking we'll keep the goals as they are right now, still, but ultimately it doesn't change, so any concern or anything like that, don't worry about that. And on the topic of the movie commentaries, we just did Ponyo, the movie commentary for that. It is up on Patreon, and you can check it out there. And it is a hilarious movie commentary if you want to hear two people barely talk about Ponyo and go off on...
Talk about it more than I think we talked about the Yu-Gi-Oh! Movie, though.
Well, you talked about almost nothing but Yu-Gi-Oh! During it.
Something happened when me and my friend watched, but we were like on this kick, we were watching all these Miyazaki movies. When we got to Ponyo, we didn't actually talk about Ponyo. It was just like going off talking about other better Miyazaki movies, like House Moving Castle or something.
But if you want to understand why Hulk Hogan's theme song is the sexiest music possible, you'll have to listen to that commentary. Sync it up with the movie, it'll all make sense. And also, quick thanks as well to our iTunes reviews. We got a review here from Who Cares My Nickname's Taken, who says WMR is an awesome podcast. It's really funny. If you like manga, people who talk about manga, you'll like this podcast. Merry Christmas, WMR. And also from Opossumich, who says, WMR is the rarest of podcasts. All things to all men and perhaps one special woman. Let's see. Truly, this is a less podcast and more of a concentrated will of God sent to us through audio to save us from ourselves. For like Christ once said, WMR is the light of the world. To walk with them is to never walk in darkness, but to have the light of Osamu and Kitori.
On your knees and fall. Yes, okay. So basically, that comment basically is... Yeah.
It's very flattering, so I love that. Thank you, Opossumich.
You guys are... Wait, are you guys like some kind of like podcast gods? Like, Chris, I can believe, but Nick?
Nick's got the perfect lighting. I don't know, it wasn't intentional, because you've got like a small light coming in from the backdrop that really just seems like you have this ethereal glow coming. Like, if you move yourself, like turn your seat a little bit, and it would just be illuminating you from behind. The other way. The other, a little bit more. Can you not see the light that's fucking I'm talking about? Are you crazy?
It's right here.
Yeah.
I can see it, yeah.
We need to.
You told me to move.
Yeah, so like it's like coming from like right behind you, like you just walked in from the light.
Man, it's ruined because you see my window.
Oh, fuck it. This is why we can't do improv, Nick! Because I zig and you zag, and I put my fist up for a dap, and you don't respond to it for like 5 minutes.
That's called no selling.
It's all about the synergy. You gotta feel it, you know? I've never done improv. I don't know. I'm just making shit up.
I don't feel like being happy with you. Shut up.
Is this because I'm
trying to run a professional podcast around here, and you we go on talking about 2 hours and 45 minutes.
How long do these usually go on for?
2 hours and
yeah,
2 hours. Okay.
The ones with the guests tend to last a little bit longer because we have more people. We have more people saying stuff. Yeah.
Do you have a guest lined up next week for anything?
No, not as of now.
Not at the moment. I have been in talks with some people, and also I've spoken. I've been doing some what would be the term to use? Some reaching out to potentially maybe build up the notion of reoccurring guests or regular guests on the show.
I was worried for a minute you were gonna say like I have been speaking with people of disreputable character.
I've been speaking with a illegal manga podcaster. He doesn't do anything with illegal manga. He just does podcasts illegally somehow.
Okay. Hi guys, I'm broadcasting this from Russia. So anyway.
So yes, we'll have some cool stuff going on. But Yeah. I guess that's it.
Okay,
Any topic we wanted to end on? I saw Flash recently. I watched that first season.
TV show?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. I don't watch that show.
It's not great.
There was a guy, he sat in front of me in my English class, and all he did every day instead of learning was just watching that show on his laptop. So I feel like I know a decent... He eventually had to drop out of the class. I wonder why. But I feel like I know a good chunk about that first season of that show now.
There's this guy who dresses up in weird tights, and he punches other people who wear weird tights. And I don't really know why they do anything.
Yeah, I kind of grasped it from far away. It seems like there's a lot of nerds. I don't know. I was going to go off on a tangent about Flash, but neither of you have seen it, so...
Somewhat similar story. Every time it would rain at work, and I work basically outdoors... I did it over the summer basically, and any time that happened, one of my coworkers came prepared by bringing his iPad and just using the Wi-Fi nearby to access Arrow, and he just watched that until it stopped raining. We could go outside and work again.
Oh my god!
So yeah, so
did you ever steal it from him? Because that would be a real Arrow move. Like, you'd be like, bitch, now you're in the show! And he's like, got it! And then he fires an arrow just fucking left through your ankle.
This shit's happening now. You gotta make decisions.
Yeah, Ollie, what are you gonna do? I just took your iPad! That's when he fucking hurls, like, a fork through your knee, and you're like, ah! You got me!
I have this on me just on the off chance.
I called your bluff, why?!
We can't see it. Your camera's frozen.